United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no one.
Let's go! One morning I woke up and I knew it all. A new day, a new way, and new life.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 9 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And I, guess what? Today's Friday. And Jeff's here on time. AJ is sitting outside. He's going to be in and out with us today. He's got a local call coming in already. It is open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. Looks like Florida's already in the queue. Glad to have her back with us today. Jeff is here, I'm here, you're there, and we want to hear from you. Again, the number is 347-945-5229, and I'm on a Crosby, Stills, and Nash. If you have any suggestions, please, because I'm running out of people. I didn't know whether to play Santana. I didn't know whether to play, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Barcades. I didn't know what to do today. I am just on. I don't know what did I do last night? I did Rotary last night.
I can't remember this song called Together.
Jeff, do you have to wake up singing? It's a wonder.
Wait a minute, no.
You know what?
My daughter is.
Yo, it's a wonder. It's a
not
wonder
me.
You still got a family. You wake up in the morning
no,
singing.
No, my daughter.
I don't want you walking. You walk in singing.
Well, yeah.
Jeez, oh man.
Because I'm happy.
No.
I am.
Okay.
I'm happy. Regardless of everything that ain't going my way, I'm still happy. And, you know.
Alrighty.
I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that. Hey! You gone? Well, come back in and say hi and bye. Hey! You got to come back in and say hello. Get on the mic. Say hi. I'm AJ. I was going to be on the mic today, but I got stolen by more important people than me, and so Tracy let me go.
Good morning, everybody. This is AJ.
Good morning, AJ. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
You're leaving me.
I know. You totally.
I farmed you out, didn't I?
I know. I was like, is she getting rid of me here? What's going on?
No.
Am I moving? What?
You're climbing the
you're
ladder.
You're climbing the corporate ladder.
I guess so. Or maybe the climbing the ladder success is just a way to get me out of here. Is that
no,
what it is?
No. That's never. Because I hate to see you go because I love to hear your input.
You never get a chance to do that if you weren't here first.
Absolutely,
yeah, it's true.
And
it's true.
You gotta go for what right. you know, so that right. you can do.
She
what
said
you
we'd
do.
Be back before noon, so maybe I'll be back.
Mary?
But I just.
What'd your mom say?
I texted her. It's all right.
Let me see the text. I'm
on
old fashioned.
We're liable for you.
That's right. I'm responsible. Where's the text? Hey.
She hadn't texted me back. I lied. But I texted her the info.
Call her.
No, he
I tried. She didn't answer.
She didn't answer back.
I just sent it right when I was walking out. You called
me. Mom, I'm farming AJ out. He's gonna ride with our promotions director, and he's gonna go.
Yeah.
Do something. I don't even know where they're going, but wherever they're going for one of the better stations. It's gonna be better for him, and they'll take care of him and they'll bring him back.
Right. So yeah. I will be back though.
Okay. So get out.
Okay. Well, I'll miss you too.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You got all summer.
Yes. You got all summer and all fall and all of your breaks. So we got this. What else is going on? Hey, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
What's new?
Nothing. I'm watching everything going on. Just can't believe what I'm seeing. But
your mic's not on.
I know you.
No, I don't.
Oh, not your fault.
No, it's not my fault. It's never my fault. Say something stupid. Because I got books in my hand.
Why is not my mic not on?
Because
the switch just stuck?
I don't know, but you're making noise now.
Two. Check 1, 2. 1, 2, how's that? That's better, right? Am I bobbing your needles over there, Tracy?
Yeah, you're bobbing.
Okay.
So welcome to Tracy and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
I lost AJ, and I know he had things to say. He was preparing.
He was ready?
I know he was ready. I know he was ready.
Full of young oats again.
Absolutely.
Old oats are good, too, though.
Daisy dotes and those e-dotes.
And a little ivy. A kid will eat ivy, too.
Wouldn't you? Oh, no.
I don't eat ivy.
But I'm eating oats.
I eat oats. Love oats. So what's going on with you?
I don't know.
Hey.
Yeah? Well, so what have you been running into the last couple of days with all this crazy stuff? Iraq, we're sending 300 military personnel in there, but we're not doing any military things.
No, Jeff.
Well,
you got 7 minutes.
What was I trying to say?
No.
What happened with the Browns just today?
There you go.
Somebody said something about the Browns.
They thought they were going to win.
They're going to win.
Yeah, they're going to win. They're going to win another contract to come back next year.
No, because the people are. Ed Fitzgerald, the county. The county.
I forgot. Never mind. I'm a Brown fan now. Oops.
I was like, that county guy says he doesn't want.
Didn't I tell you, Jeff? Didn't I
if
just?
If they pay them, or the VA or the IRS, any extra money.
Jeff.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Have you not heard of Light First? 20 minutes. Talk about
that. That is light.
That ain't light. The VA ain't light. IRS ain't light. And paying people are not light. And Fitzgerald's not light. Iraq is not light. Obama's not light. The Congress is not light. I'm not even. Hey, what happened to the kids? In what happened to the young man in somewhere who did a text?
Which one?
And they suspended him for a text message?
Mm-hmm. I missed that one.
There's some kid that they suspended for a text message.
Wow. Depends on what it said.
It's my business.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
And if my mama don't beat me.
I hear you. I hear you.
I think they're overreaching.
Well, I don't know where it was, but yeah, they're overreaching. They had the one young man that wasn't allowed to say, here he is, he's the class valedictorian, and he gets to make the speech. And they didn't let him finish the speech. I mean, they didn't want him to speak because he was going to say that he owed it to what the Lord did for him to get him through school. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't keep it light. Yeah, you come in. It's either you're singing or you've gone somewhere nuts.
You cut me off of what I do.
I know, but you either can. You can't go. Can't you? You know, move saw.
My daughter opens up every day. She gets up in full song and concert in the house. So tell me about somebody coming in singing.
I
sing all the time, but nowhere near as much as my daughter does.
I'm trying to keep you, you know, for the next 5 minutes, you know, somehow
mm-hmm.
on something light. Good morning, our local call. Maybe you'll do it light. How you doing this morning?
Yeah, this is Steve.
There you go, light Steve. What, Steve? Good morning.
Tracy,
really have to say that, not only the Republicans are coming on board about the real blame lying with Dick Cheney and George Bush, because they're the ones who said that we need to go into Iraq because they see that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Have you been listening to the show?
That we were being lied to by the,
Steve.
In other words, there were a lot of people that went on board and believed that.
Steve, you didn't listen to the show. You haven't been listening to the show for the first 10 minutes, have you?
Well, he can only
stay on the phone so long, you know that.
And I got my, I'm on my cell phone, so I have minutes.
Steve.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not the ma'am. I'm the sir.
I mean, yes. I'm sorry about it.
I don't care how many of this stuff happens. Don't worry about it, Steve. It's going to be said until history books write the story of Iraq and show that, no, George Bush did not lie. There was no way he lied because we supplied Iraq with weapons of mass destruction in their 10-year war against Iran. Just like we left all of those things over there in Iraq this time, those weapons that they have that we left for them to defend themselves, that's the same thing we did then, and Saddam had weapons of mass destruction that he sent to Syria. Everybody knows it, but they're playing politics to get people like you excited to go out and vote, and so you'll vote to keep Democrats in power. That's the only reason this is happening.
Well, the thing about it, Jeff, I did have this something to say. I regret that I voted for him.
Voted for who?
Obama.
Oh, really? I'm surprised.
I regret that I voted for him because I kind of wish I was stuck to my guns and,
No, you don't, because you defend him all the time.
Do I? I believe that I've often said that he was a puppet and that he...
You still defend him all the time.
Well,
you just like the rest of the people in the neighborhood.
Well, I'm not trying to. I mean, in some ways I do offend him, but then on the other hand, I'm beginning to understand where you and where Jeff are coming from. About because I spoke to someone yesterday and they gave me the full detail that Obama is not really for us as a people.
No,
not at all.
No,
Hey, was he black or white?
He was black because, we only listen.
He's a black guy.
He was a black guy. You know how I know? Because the white man always, the white one's always right when it, and until it comes to politics, then the black man comes right.
I mean, for some reason, even us black people are starting to get fed up and kind of frustrated. We still have brothers and sisters who are still going to back him and support him regardless of his policies and stuff like that. That's all I have to say here, Mr. J.C.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. And you got it all. You got it all out. Diva's not here right now, so don't even ask. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5249. Eric, I see you in the queue. I'm going to pull you up in just a minute so you stop making noise. And let me see. Well, since Jeff is, everybody's itching to go deep and go strong and start fighting already this morning. They don't want to keep it light. You can't sing.
I want to sing.
No.
About the birds and the bees and the springer.
No.
Sing. You ever play that cartoon?
Absolutely. I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives.
handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Stable Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Michael Savage.
Christy, he's the king of bacon.
No kidding. The minute he embraced Obama, we knew already what we were getting. Christy showed himself to be a fat McCain without any military background. I mean, if you want to reduce it to its simplest term. Christy is a fat McCain without any military backup.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Everybody's doing out on the floor.
Everyone,
yeah.
Do what you want to. Let's have some fun.
Yeah,
do what you want.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm in the studio with Jeff today. It's open mic. Want to hear from you. Want to open up the mics and have a conversation about whatever's on your mind. There's a lot of stuff in the news right now, and I'm going to go slowly. I'm going to start with foreign policy. I want to start with domestic. I'm trying to get my guys to slow down, woosaw, and not.
When have you ever known men to slow down? Who made that one alone?
Please.
That may have nothing to do with talk radio.
We'll I know, but it's just men.
But it transforms.
Men! It's just men.
If a man doesn't learn, he is like that in all aspects
and
of
I'm
life.
Trying to get him to slow down so that we can get some things done. And so the first, when we walk in the door, it's like when you come.
I know the song you need to sing.
What?
Baby, you can do it. Take your time.
No.
That's what you're going to start out with, to remind us.
No.
What's that group do that?
I have to look. Hold on.
I can't remember.
Let me tell you what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when men come home from work,
mm-hmm.
the last thing that they really want you to do is bombard them with a whole lot of stuff at home. They want to decompress. And then after they decompress, then they'll come back and be able to engage in what's going on. It takes a while for women to get to learn that because we're always on full throttle.
Absolutely.
And that's what we do. So to have a good relationship, inside the home, women need to learn, you know, how men think. Well, radio is something like that. When people want to listen to radio, they don't want you to jump in with both feet. They want to laugh and joke and take a seat, get a glass of milk and a cup of coffee. Then they want to throw their coffee up in the air. You don't want them to, you know, they got to have a cup of coffee first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want them to choke on the coffee, spit it out, have oatmeal all over the kitchen because of something that you say. You do that first. Then they say, hey, Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Tracy. How you doing?
I'm good. That's pretty good, wasn't it?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. You got that AT&T. I found out who has AT&T, and I found out who has Sprint.
Oh, my God. You can tell where the echoes come from.
Yes, I can tell how the echoes run. How you doing? What's going on, E?
Not much. So I heard Miss Lois Lerner, their hard drive got recycled.
They picked it off the server, huh?
Her hard drive's been destroyed.
Oh no! But they didn't destroy the server.
Oh,
see, they got problems.
So.
It is, you know, we have to realize technology today is the beast.
Yeah.
You just can't destroy stuff. You think that you destroyed it.
I didn't know what you were saying because the way I said they were totally gone and could not be recovered. Then along with the just other, there's 6 or 9 other people that are tied up with this case.
Unless they actually went into the server and took them off the servers. I mean, do you know that they destroy hard drives through a custom-made shredder? Now, they may have done that already. Don't get me wrong. But the question is, if they did that, what do we do about it? Because there's something wrong there. That's a cover-up all day long. People go to jail for less than that.
And all these people should be in jail.
Jeff, we're not there yet. They ought to be. Right now, we got to charge them. They're not even being charged. They're not even being questioned. And I'm really concerned about that.
Yeah, I think there's more to this than.
So why aren't the people saying anything about it?
There's more to this than a couple missing emails, definitely. I think there's a whole lot that's on that hard drive.
So, what are they, just nude photos? that's what's going to come out. She actually had them destroyed because there was inappropriate nude photos of them on there.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want those to be public.
Probably.
So she had a wiener moment. What?
Winky moment.
No. His name was Wiener, wasn't he? Out of New York.
Winky Wiener.
He was Wiener the Winky.
Yeah, Wiener the Winky. And
a Winky the Wiener.
You see where he was talking about, I'm coming back. And
they tried.
And they rejected him.
No, he tried, but remember they found some more out. He forgot that he hadn't stopped yet. He took some more pictures and put them back out there.
After the first one.
Because he almost made it. He was doing good. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Listen, you know, I'm doing some research on the Washington Redskins.
Uh-huh.
And this trademark thing. And they say the Washington Redskins is offensive. But there are other T-shirts, there are other trademarks that are out there that are just as offensive, if not more offensive, than Redskins, that they have not revoked their trademark status.
Guarantee you the owner of the Washington Redskins gives to conservative causes.
Not the point.
It is the point.
Not the point.
Because there's 20 schools talking about they're not going to say the word Redskin, and their freaking mascots are Redskins. That's what's so stupid about this. This bass-ackward, and they're not thinking. And nobody's thinking, and nobody's challenging it because they have been bombarded. They're fatigued. And you know, at least I heard yesterday that several black organizations are standing up against this. Which I think is excellent.
Are they really?
Yeah. Hey, I got to find that.
Good morning, 518. Your mic is on.
Oh, how you guys doing this morning?
We're well. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing real good, real good. Hey, I just wanted to call in. This is my second time calling. I listen to your show, whenever I get the chance to. You guys were talking about the schools and the testing that they're having, the schools take in Ohio.
Yeah.
I don't want to get back on that subject, but I just want to, I'm real keen on words, and I think, if we use the right word, get to a better understanding when we talk, and so people won't get lost. And Jeff had said something, and it kind of triggered my thoughts to activate. He said something about, he said the word reason, okay? And like I said, I'm real keen on words, and I just wanted to read the definition for reason, okay? And, just to see if this can help the talk show, to have a good reason when we try to explain things over the radio, so, we won't be in a state of confusion. So I'm going to read this definition real quick, and hopefully you guys can take it and use it. So, the definition of reason is the capacity for consciously making sense of things, for establishing and verifying facts, and changing or justifying practice and beliefs based on new or existing facts. Reason is thinking, is the thinking use of intellect, and that's the end of the definition. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
But no, do me a favor, because you got people that are listening today that are not that did not listen on the other day. So elaborate a little bit on why you wanted people to know what the term of what reasoning meant or what reason meant.
Okay, if I can go into my little thing here, I guess what is the reason for these tests? Okay, now according to that definition, I'm trying to find a legitimate reason for these tests. And I had made mention, it just seems to me like what they're doing is they're taking basic principles, and they're complicated, such as, your mathematics. When I was in high school or elementary school, it was more built off of memorization, They taught us to memorize, and then we used to have these little folders that would have a chart on the side that would help you if you didn't memorize your multiplications. You could, take 3 + 3, and then you would go look at the chart, point at 3, and move over 3 spaces, and it would give you, the sum, And now it seems like, they're not letting the basics sink in, and I think the basics starts with memorization. Once you memorize it, you'll be able to explain what you've memorized. And I think that they're just rushing too fast, I asked the question, I said, who are we racing? Why are we racing? When you go, we all know if you go too fast, mistakes happen, and I think that's what's going on within the school system. We're going too fast. They're making them take tests that are not really, in my opinion, a good tactic on how they teach them. It's like you're teaching them to take the test pass the test, and then they're teaching them, you know, the basics, but it's too much information at one time for the little mind. And, you know, children stress just like adults, you know what I mean? And I think what they're mainly up against is the time factor. Everything has to be, you know, rush. I know we need a time, you know, on everything that we do in life, but I just think, you know, if they would ease up on some of the time, because I think the kids are up against the time. And, you know, you need to teach the children, you know, read the question. If you don't know the question, do not spend, you know, too much time trying to figure it out. Go to the next one. If you know that one, you know, mark it. If you don't know it, keep going, and then, you know, you go back and go over it. I think they just need better tactics.
I truly believe that a lot of what you're saying is true. But what I'm finding out is our society has now taken all discipline away from everyone. And discipline and systems and order are part of the whole cycle. There's a reason why we have seasons and things are going in circle. Everything is cyclical. And our children, we don't sit them down when they're young and start having conversations with them. We don't spend time with them like we should. You know, mom is not there. So when we start talking about, you know, memorizing stuff, we don't indoctrinate our children into the learning process earlier. The reason why America is on a fast track of trying to get their kids to learn is because we're so far behind the global world when it comes to education, because in other areas they are still disciplined. They still have standards. They still have discipline for their children. China still has discipline. Asia, India, they have disciplines for their children, and their children know what to expect. When you go, anytime that you see wayward people where everybody is so independent, you have what you have right now in America. So you get children in class, and it takes them too long for them to even sit down to understand what they have to learn, let alone think about what they're learning. But in America today, if you notice, they don't want us to think about anything because they don't want us to ask questions. It's almost like, don't do it. And when we were growing up, your parents would tell you, no, you can't do this, and we would say, why? And they would say, because I said so. And the mindset of America today is to take all people, to take away the thinking process. Whatever is going on, don't think about it, just do it. And until we I didn't mean to cut you off.
So, you know, how can we focus more on solutions? Because, you know, we have countless amount of problems. So how do we focus on issues and have them respected by everybody, you know?
One, you start in your own household. You start within your own community. You start within your own controllable force. And as a matter of fact, you start with yourself. If you're honest, if you look introspectively at yourself, and you're honest with yourself, let every man be true. No, help me out. And every man a liar. Help me out.
Let God be true and let every man be a liar.
Let God be true and every man a liar. And look at yourself with a spiritual inner scope. Saying, this is what's going on with me, and being honest. I know I'm sloppy. I know I'm always late. I know I'm always this. I know I'm always that. I know I don't finish anything that I start. I know I don't do this. This is who I am. Now, what am I going to do to fix me and be honest with me? And what am I going to do to make sure that my young people around me don't pick up my bad habits?
Yes.
That's where we start. But until we're honest with ourselves, we need to quit flossing like everything is okay and everything is good, because it's not.
Right.
You know,
but how do we know you broke. Yeah, but
you look around your house, you got more stuff that you don't use that you paid for, that if you had that money today, you could pay the light bill.
The liberal black people that have attained have taken on the attitude of those whites that have escaped inner city. And they take that attitude on because of this, out of sight, out of mind, not realizing that your relatives that are still there are getting screwed over by a system that does not work for them. And that system doesn't work for them on purpose. And when you get that going, you have to interrupt that system yourself at the local level. And you have to not allow the D.C. crowd or the Columbus crowd to dictate to you what's going to happen with your children when you know what they've been dictating doesn't work.
But this is what I'm saying. I can't step with my children until I realize I'm screwed up myself.
Well, that's why there's only a few of us.
And until I'm honest about I'm screwed up in myself, I will never be able to unscrew my kids.
Yeah, that's true.
But this is a true statement. As long as you're in that infrastructure or system, you're going to have to play by their rules. Because
no.
It seems to me that no matter how many people voice their opinion, okay, let me put it like this. It seems like you can vote, but you can't have a voice.
That's not true. The problem is no one wants to listen to people to tell you how to get the voice. See, Jeff is a singer. I'm not a singer. If I wanted to become a singer, my voice is not bad, but my voice is not trained. So I need to go get training from someone who can help me do what's necessary so that I can sing. Now, I may never become Mariah Carey, but I can hold a note and not have to have, and have cats scratching on the wall. And you need to know that. But what our problem is, we're not honest about it. So we get up there, grab the mic, and think we're throwing down like American Idol, and folks are laughing at you. And the reason why you don't have a voice is because we don't sing in unison.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hold each other accountable. When you mess up, I need to pull you aside and say, dude, you have messed up, and if you do it again, you will not go back again. We don't do that. And until we actually acknowledge that,
And the thing is, after you do that, you're going to have to find a cohesive group of like thinkers, because you have people that are convinced that how things are going is okay.
But Jeff, it's okay for them. It's okay for them to think that everything that's going on right now is okay for them. But the problem is, you've got people who think that it's wrong, but they're still going along with the people that they disagree with.
Exactly.
My problem is, are not a Christian, if you believe that orange is the new black, then you go let your orange be black. And that's what you should go, and you should vote, and you should live according to your orange being the new black until you have a mind change and you find out that orange is not black.
Right.
Because they made orange is new black because black is supposed to be sexy, right? So now they're telling me if I go to prison and just put in an orange jumpsuit, I'm going to be sexy? No, I'm not. That's not true. So I'm not going to vote with them.
And you have to stand on that, and it's I'm not trying to tell you to choose, one thing if you don't like the one other thing that's available too. I'm trying to tell you, you've got to get into the process and take it over, because this process was made to be of, for, and by the people. You're the people that can't allow the government to overlord them.
And that's
what's going on.
But the people have the power to do so, but that's why they don't want you to think. Because the question that you asked was, while you're in the system, do you have to comply with it? If that was the case, we'd still be in slavery. If that was the case, we would still be under, we'd be under Jim Crow. And if that was the case, the civil rights movement would never last. I got to take a break.
Nor would you have voted.
Student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 1-800-426-0551. That's 1-800-426-0551. When you call the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you're behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, the Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can help you. You may also be able to cut your payments in half right away. The Federal Student Loan Relief Hotline can also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-426-0551. The Federal Student Loan Relief Partner Companies has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-426-0551 for free information today. That's 1-800-426-0551.
News Talk 600 is on iHeartRadio, iHeartRadio.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com. Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Are you trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Call 800-942-0697. 800-942-0697.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is healthcare. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795.
330-781-9600. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friend, the number is 347-945-5229. Hey, 518, Jefferson's studio with me, 518. Didn't you say reason?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's what reason, that's what it means, right?
Yes.
See, listen.
That's reasoning.
Oh. Reasoning?
Yeah.
Ain't that what they're singing about?
Yeah, it got to be right, though. You know, it has to be right. Got to have the right reason. That'll be right.
You said it. That's the first song that came to mind, so I had to go find it for you, since you're talking about reason.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Hey, listen, I have to ask another question, too. Is it open mic always
yes,
on Fridays?
Friday and Monday.
Okay, because this is what I'm going to do. I'm getting ready to start my day at work here. I really appreciate you guys' show. I want to do my best to call in a little bit more because I got like a big mouth myself. You know what I mean? I like to talk about some things. Just before I get off the phone, this is what I'm aiming for though. We need to learn to really really be able to put things on the table. You know, because if we're going to stand on the principle of truth, you know, the truth doesn't play favoritism. You know what I mean? We all have truths about our culture and about our ways that might not be likable. But we have to put them out there and just to say that, you know, nobody's better than the next person. We all have our problems, you know. And as soon as we address those problems, I think the world will heal better because we have a lot of people that say that they're better than this person, they're better than that person, and that's the wrong attitude, you know what I mean? We're in the day and age of information, and, you know, there's no reason why we have not learned how to respect each other more. This is just crazy.
You gotta like yourself. If you don't like yourself, you can't respect other people. If you don't respect yourself, you can't respect other people. That's the problem in a nutshell. Most people have no self-respect. That's why young men can pick up a gun and shoot somebody that looks like them because they have no respect for themselves.
Right. So I think we need to focus a little bit more on keywords. And use those words as power. You know what I mean? Respect is a powerful word. Reason, as we just seen, is a powerful word. So once we learn the definitions of these words, you know what I mean, it will increase our understanding of what we need to do. You know what I mean? Just like the word ignorance. You know what I mean? A lot of people misuse that word. But if you look at the structure of the word, you know, you have the root of the word, which is ignore. And that's what a lot of people tend to do. They ignore things that they should not be ignoring. So that, therefore, that they become ignorant, you know. So I'm going to leave on that note. I want to keep talking because that's what I like to do. So I'm going to let you guys continue on. And I want to listen in, and I just want to appreciate you guys for taking my call, and I will be calling in.
Well, we're glad to have you calling in. You know, we got Kobe and the man sitting in the chat room, and he lost his mind. Mm-hmm. He's talking about he don't understand what we're talking about. See, that's what's wrong. People like that, that's what's wrong.
I just answered English.
No, they only understand Spanglish.
See, this is the thing. When we have a lot of our people that because we've been thrust into poverty and hardly making it, and whenever they see a rope come, they think that somebody's there to pull them out, but they never actually get pulled out. They just get pulled along, you know, and they never get to shore because the boat don't go to shore. And they believe because they got that rope, and so that's what people cling to is they cling to a rope instead of trying to swim ashore and get on.
But see, that's just it. They don't know, Jeff.
That's what I said. They don't know. They get brainwashed.
Let me say this real quick. Okay, with the key words, right? We just said two words that we need to correct, and that is the word believe. And no, as long as you believe, you will never know. We must know things. We're in a state to where we can know things. Believing will get you nowhere. You have to learn to know. So when somebody says that they believe in something, okay, wouldn't it be better to know? Like we all know we're on this radio station talking. Belief is not involved. And there's a lot of people that use that word belief, and they get trapped under that word thinking that's the right thing. But if they knew any better, they would know that that might not be the right thing. We must learn to know.
Well, then let's put it like this. I must believe that I can reach some people to change their mind. Because what I know is the situation they're in is self-supporting right now, and that's not a good thing. One thing, I wanted to read this to you while you're listening.
Okay. 269, hold on. 269, come on in.
Oh, yeah, can you hear me?
I got you.
Go ahead, 269.
Can you hear me? Yeah, I was just going to echo what the brother was saying. I do think, and I don't know what you all are talking about, but, you know, we are in an age now where we need to start knowing things instead of believing. I think when you're talking about, you know, the condition that we're in, man, we're in trouble if we can't figure out some type of scientific way or organizational way to get out of this mess. Pure belief in stuff is not going to get it. It's just not going to get it. So I just wanted to echo what he was saying about the difference between believing something and knowing something. We need to know at this point.
Larry, you might
know what the plan is.
Oh, I totally agree.
I agree.
Good
morning, Tracy. Feeling. Good morning, Larry.
Mm-hmm. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I like what those two brothers were talking about there. But who's going to take that mantle up? I mean, do we do it locally and just kind of let it just spread? But, I mean, you need a national movement. And you got to listen to the truth, because there's some truth. I hate to say it, but there's some truth that the Republican Party has some problems, some issues. And I think we've talked about that personally, Tracy, on the marketing side, on how do you talk to, I mean, but until we want to, and some people in our party don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear how to talk to people.
And Larry, you know, it's funny you said that. I've got about 2 minutes before I go to break. But I'm going to call. I mean, I'm going to be calling the RNC today about some things that are just on my mind. And they have a choice. But if we say it in concert, because, I mean, when we talk about having a conversation and saying it one person versus a choir, the Republican, you know, black Republicans have the same problem as black Democrats. Truth be told, because
yep.
We still don't work together and sing in unison. We still don't talk on one accord. Yes, we're going to disagree on some things, but that which we disagree on, we'll go find some people that agree with us on the other things. But the things that we do agree on, we need to come together and agree on them, and we still don't work in concert. Because the black syndrome is the black syndrome, no matter what party you belong to.
Right.
Hey, I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Who's online?
Who's out there?
518.
Michigan here.
All right. We're at Michigan. We're at
Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah.
I live downriver for a while.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio. That's where I'm calling from. I'm going to get off this phone here, brothers, but I wish I could stay a little bit longer. I'm going to make sure I call in a little bit more because I like the way you guys talk, you know what I mean? And, you know, we're not going to get everybody to go along. We must know that to be the truth, you know. But it's just those people that have, you know, a little bit of wanting for the truth or, you know, would like to know things. You know, we should really focus on those people who we see that have those energies in them. You know what I mean? Because there's some people, man, they're not going to get it, man. You know, one of my elders told me, he said, you may be my color, but not my kind. You know, and that resonated with me real heavily. I had to learn to know what he meant by that. You know what I mean? So it's not a color thing with me. You know what I mean? I judge according to the content of the character. You know, I see energy, and I think that's what we all need to see. You know what I mean? These are some of the things that, you know, everybody wants to play the race card all the time. Everybody got a pile of race cards. We'll throw them for days. But, you know what I mean, once we get behind the energy, then we'll be able to converse a little bit more with people. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think a lot of people don't even recognize that they have that energy because they're not living this life to better themselves and correct their character principles and morals. It's a lot of weak-minded people, and, you know, if you don't work out, just like anything else in life, if you don't work out, you know, especially with your mind, it's susceptible to, you know, somebody else taking control of it when you think you're in control. So that's pretty much my outlook on things. I'm going to get off this phone. I'm going to continue to listen in, but I hope you brothers keep the show rolling and, you know, get that positive energy out there, and I'll be calling back again. So I just want to thank y'all one more time.
All right, peace, bro.
Okay, peace, brothers. Y'all take care.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it is open mic. I'm sitting in the studio with Jeff. Today's Friday the 20th of June 2014, and we're sitting here in studio pecking away and getting some things done, and I hope you guys are doing the same things, that you can have a good weekend this week, at the end of the week and the beginning of the week. And what's going on this weekend, Jeff? You playing anywhere?
I play at the Kensington Golf Course this Saturday.
Okay.
From I think we're there from 8 to 11.
Okay.
It's
cool.
Very nice. Very nice. It's
golf course. Beautiful place.
Beautiful. Excellent food.
Beautiful.
My God.
Yeah, the food is good. The atmosphere is good. What time?
8 to 11, I believe we're playing.
Okay, and it's open to the public. You don't have to
open
play golf.
Free
just
to
come
the public,
on and just come and hang out.
Public, come out.
Good
time
food.
To hang out. Good food. Great food. Great entertainment. Great fun. We're going to have some fun out there.
We got a call. Do call in. 782, your mic is on.
Yeah, what's going on, Tracy and friends? How y'all feeling?
Oh, look who's here. How you doing, Rick?
What's up? I'm trying to catch up with what's happening. You got to fill me in and get me up to speed. Where we at?
Same stuff, different day.
Same stuff, different day.
Stuff.
All right, so what are we doing about these crises that we're supposed to be in panic of in Iraq and Iran?
We're talking about
what are we supposed to do? I mean, am I panicking right now?
No.
Okay, but should I be panicking about this World War III that they're trying to get started?
No. You know, we didn't complain.
I shouldn't be panicking.
World War III yet.
But it's on its way.
Oh,
as soon as they crack open Damascus over in Syria, don't worry about it. It'll be right there.
Yeah, they're going to have it.
But then we got Germany that just doesn't want to play right.
What's wrong with Germany?
Huh?
What's wrong with Germany? What did Germany do? Did I miss something?
Russia, Germany, whoever's marching in
Russia's not Germany. Hey, don't be. Hey! No, don't be messing up.
Don't do that.
No.
They're not one and the same.
No, not even close. Russia, Germany, just because they all over in the same over by the same continent does not make them the same.
I
no,
they
not
might
the same.
Have been all the same.
No,
I,
no, they're
okay,
not the same.
So.
Hold on, I got to go to Larry because you're talking out the side of your neck. Hey, Larry.
Larry don't want to talk. Let me talk out the side of my neck. Go ahead,
no,
Larry. Keep
no,
doing what you're doing.
No,
Larry,
no, don't talk
Larry
out the side of your neck. There's
listen,
a song you say.
I got a statement. I got a statement. Listen, I just figured this out. I'm a little slow, guys, so you got to help me out. I just came to this epiphany that working smarter, not harder, only means that good decisions make up for hard work. Is that
okay.
true?
Okay.
Is that true?
I don't know. I'm not thinking that deep. It's Friday. It's Friday. I'm not going. I'm not being. I'm not a philosopher today.
Working smarter means good decisions because you're making, you're streamlining your process. You're making your process make sense for you, and creating a system that brings into you instead of pours out.
Yeah, but have you noticed how hard Americans are working today? Does that mean we've all made bad decisions?
Yes.
Is that what that means?
A whole lot of us. Oh, yeah.
Come on. I'd hate to believe that we've all... Well, I was about to say something. I'd hate to believe that we have all messed up that badly.
Yes.
We've put ourselves behind that badly that we have to work hard every day just to catch up, not even to get over. We got to catch up.
Right. Absolutely.
Is that what we've done to ourselves?
Yes. Yes, that's
what
we're
about
doing.
The people that are making it harder for us?
Then you overcome that. Life has never been a bowl of cherries. I don't know where people got that philosophy that they believe that life
is. Isn't that what the American dream is?
No.
That's the American dream.
American dream is about hard work, dedication, and moving forward. It ain't about no, you know, it's going to work for you. And no, that's not what that is. Hey, Covina, man, quit messing with your mic. Good morning.
Yeah, y'all are way too complicated for me this morning, but I do like that quote, good decisions make up for hard work. I'm going to have to use that in my group therapy next week. That's my quote.
You need to send him a check.
Yeah, I mean, you really need to send it to me, Rick Smith, 2935.
Rick spent a lot of time out in Cali.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, this guy, this is Covina, man. He's from Covina,
when was Rick in California?
He was in California for a little while.
When were you in California, Rick?
Listen, Rick gets around. Rick has been all over the place.
But I thought Rick was indigenous to your mom.
Because he's a wanderer. He's a wanderer. He been around.
Yeah.
And that's Rick I'm talking about. That's me and Rick writing a book together.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Can you get Jeff to quit singing all the time?
That's how he communicates. That's how he communicates. You got to understand.
Only a man
can
understand this.
Exactly. My friend wrote a song, and he said, everything you touch is a song. Everything you touch. And he understands.
Everything you touch.
You know what I'm talking about.
You don't have to sing it. Jeez, old man.
That friend is somebody's pastor.
I don't know nobody that sing. No. He, birds in there, no. No.
Is that when they did the stuff with the Beatles song in it?
No. Yes.
That's exactly the same song.
No, at the same time, but it was not the same song.
I thought it was in the middle of that song. So I apologize.
What'd you say, Rick?
Yeah, same time, but I don't think it was the same song.
It's not the same song. I think I'm going to pull that one up. Don't Let the Sun Fall Down on Me. The other one was Everything You Touch. Even the birds has to sing and the trees sing. And
that's right. All creation.
You remember that?
And that's what it says, yeah.
All creation sings and calls forth the glory
Quiet
of God.
Is, okay, Convocations. If anybody wants to know, Convocation for Perfecting Church is going to be on this upcoming week, starting on Monday, and Detroit, Michigan at 3616 East Nevada. Okay, now I got that out, since y'all want to go there.
Yeah, you ought to do the Long and Winding Road medley that the Winers did on one of the breaks.
Which one of that?
Yes,
that's
you should.
He Christianized,
oh,
which I thought he did in the middle of the
no.
Everything I Touch is a Soul.
No.
That's what
no.
I thought he did, because I traveled with him for a good year and a half now, so I just thought.
No.
I just thought.
746, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning. How have you been doing?
Oh, my God. Where have you been?
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
That sounds like Joe T.
Blast from the past.
Out of all the time I've been through my ups and downs in life, how are y'all doing today?
I don't know.
It's so nice to hear your lovely voice again.
I don't know. Joe T ain't called me in 3 years.
Yes, I just got off airplane just a while ago. Hey,
where
why
you been?
Have you a stooges people on air?
What do you mean, why? Yes, sir?
All of y'all, listen for a minute. I got some. I do not want to throw them away. All the saving of tapes and stuff I have, I want to try to see if I can get with some of y'all. I don't know if anybody else got the tapes or not. And see what can we do with these tapes. I don't want to lose them. And I don't want nobody to throw them away. So
well, don't
what
throw them
can
away.
We do in order to save these tapes?
You put them on.
For
you put them on the computer, and you put them on YouTube.
Well, I have to see whether or not financially I can do it or not.
It don't
but
take
you
nothing.
Have an idea how many takes I got?
I can thousands probably.
Make your sons put them all on CD at their house, and so there'll be a permanent record. And
no,
then
no, put them up on the YouTube. Get a Joe T YouTube channel.
He should, but he can't do that unless he has them on CD.
No, he can.
How you gonna upload
them? Just feed them straight from your cassette straight into your hard drive. You don't have to go through.
Then tell me how one does that.
You take a cord with your player, and you take an out cord and feed it straight into your in cord, and it records right to your disc, your hard drive.
I know nothing about that.
I can't help that. Right. It's just how it rolls.
If it don't work, I'm coming to see you.
You can come see me.
All right.
But you do. It's the same
listen,
thing as transferring. You don't have to transfer. You don't have to transfer.
I might have something else.
Hold on, Joe. I gotta give Jeff the ABCs of computer electronics. You have to send it straight to an MP3.
With all this tapes and stuff I have saved during this duration of time, me being on the air, and some of them I gave away, and I said, what am I giving away? Why don't we keep them for the future generation and see exactly what we had to go through out of a period of lifetime here? I will give the tapes. Don't want nobody to try to go out there and try to sell them. But I think
Mr. T, come on, let me sell them.
Together. With you all, with your expertism, to try to put these things together and save them for the future generation.
I can't believe you
I'm not going
me
to
today.
Charge you anything. We'll do it in order to try to say we do have something that when we're dead and gone on, we can share with other people. I'll leave it up to you, Tracy, you, Jeff, and everybody that want to do it. This is something other that we will have as a momentum. I do. I got a shortened breath because I've been in the hospital for 3 days last week. So I don't know how long I'll be here, but we'll get together.
You're going to be here a while. Well, we're going to take care of you.
I've been in bad shape, my lungs. And I didn't smoke that much either. Didn't drink that much either.
But you raised
hell a whole lot, but that's part of life. Excuse for cussing. But whatever y'all want to do, we'll get together. And see what
right,
we can
Joe.
Do. If I have to throw some money in and try to help you with them to save it, I think there'd be
all
something
right.
else that we can save for the memories of the years.
Well, you know I love
if
you,
y'all
right?
want to go forward, I think y'all know my number. Don't look in the telephone book on Alameda. And we'll get together.
Okay, Joe. And if not, if you if
I'm
you feel well enough.
Because you're hearing it now. I'm sorry.
Hey, yeah, I was going to just say, make sure you come down to Jazz and Park and see me if you feel good enough, all right?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you yet.
Make sure you come down to Jazz in the Park if you feel good enough on Sunday starting the 20th of July when you feel
when
better.
When is the party, yeah?
July 20, July what?
July 20th we start. Down
July
at the B&O. Yeah, down at the B&O.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll stop down.
Hey,
and
I'm
maybe he'll be one of the songs I was writing. I don't
know
what bridge I'm going across for, because sometimes the bridge don't look like they're too steady.
I'm going to let you play some.
I get you guys now talking to you. Y'all keep doing what you're doing, okay?
Love you, Mr. Teague.
Love y'all.
Love you. Now listen, if y'all, if for those of you who don't know who's nationwide, that is Mr. Joe Teague,
who is called every call-in talk show probably in the nation.
In the nation. Hey, but this is the first time he's ever called me. No, well, let me say, it's the first time he's called me since we've been here.
Yes, since we've been here.
Because I didn't hung up on him a many a day. So he's the first hang
That's
up.
Not
he's
funny. Good, that's not funny. You should hang up on him.
Hey, I love Joe T.
Don't get me wrong.
Right or wrong, he gets in.
Listen, I can hang up on Joe T.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hang up on Joe T. I, you know, what? I told that to
you
a friend of mine.
You can't say that.
Yes, I can. I told someone that the other day. Listen, I want you to understand something. I can talk about you. It's like family. I can talk about you if I please. But bet nobody else talk about you because you're mine. I can hang up on Joe T. But can't nobody else hang up on Joe T.
Yes, ma'am. All right, listen.
All right.
Have you got
what,
any Rick,
you
picture
did, all
of
my
Kim
deep
Kardashian
callers and hung up?
Out
what?
Online? Huh? All the good callers have called and hung up.
They'll call back in. They're just busy.
Well, listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM here on this Friday. We'll be right back.
Let's talk for Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's
3305 8 5795. I wonder where Alabama and Stanley and Divas at. Quiet. All these new callers, I don't even recognize them. Okay, it's too quiet. Let me just say something. Name's Covina Man. Live in Covina, California. It's a nice morning out here. 7:26 a.m. Looking forward to football season. I don't know what else to say. But it's just too quiet on the boat. But I did like that quote that guy gave. Good decisions make up for hard work. I will use that in my group therapy next week. I work with the youth. Teach them to say no to drugs and help with their post-traumatic stress. That's what I do for a living. Usually on Fridays, I take a group of kids and we go fishing. That's what I usually do on Fridays. I get my stressed kids and we go relax by fishing. And we fish at a lake called Pudding Stone. Here it's in San Dimas, right next to Raging Waters. Tune into this show because I find this show interesting of how black Republicans think. It's very odd to me, even though at one time I probably was registered as a Republican, but I didn't really feel Republican, so I always been independent since then. It's still too quiet. The break is almost over. California is a very blue state. The politics here is very uninteresting. We have a mayor here in the Los Angeles area, Garcetti. I don't even know what he looks like. I couldn't pick him out of the lineup. Politics is that boring here in L.A. And in Sacramento, too. We have term limits, so politicians only stay in office for a few years, never really get to know any of them. We have Governor Brown. He's a good governor. Other than that, politics is very boring here in California. Yeah, Minty said it's been a long break. It has been a long break. Someone called in, we could converse, but I'm pretty sure the break would be over in like 15 seconds. Yeah, I used to do a blog talk show, and I would sit here, and it was good to have a partner so you guys can sit here and talk.
Everything you touch is a song.
Hey, okay, Vina Man, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
You know anything about this?
It does not sound familiar.
In all your years, you've never heard this?
This is the first time.
Wow.
Went in the jungle and you touched a lion. And all that lion started to roar.
You've never heard that before?
No, I haven't. You know, I used to attend like a black church, but when they started that whole name it and claim it type preaching, that just disgusted me, and I left, and I found a church where they didn't do that, and they just sing like songs from like Hillsong.
Like what song?
Hillsong's songs, you know.
Oh, Hillsong. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I haven't heard that.
Not all black churches are name it and claim it. We're not name it and claim it.
Yeah, well, the couple I went to, I had to leave that.
I used to go to West Angeles out there. They're not a name it and claim it church. They're a big church, but they're not a name it and claim it church. But it's a big church.
Is that Fred Price?
No. Oh. That's a. This is. I went to Blake's church.
Oh, okay.
It was little church when I went. It's not little anymore. You know what? Covina Man had never heard
of what.
Everything You Touch Is a Song.
Oh man.
Classic.
Well, you know what? When I was out there with them,
get your mic.
When I was out there with them, we did. We came up. We did Frisco. Across the bridge in Oakland, and we did Bakersfield.
Oakland?
We never,
Northern.
We never got into.
Well, not California. I know because the Winers came to Southern Cal a lot.
Well, but I'm talking about when I was with them.
Okay,
they came to Southern Cal a
lot.
Yeah.
That's how I found them. I found them eating at Aunt Kitty's back porch. That's how I found them. They were out there eating dinner, and I was eating by myself, and I ran into a girl that I knew.
True story. We were out there some years before that for the Christian Artist Seminar up there in the YCA camp in outside of Denver there. And we went to California with an artist called by the name of Don Thomas. We were his East Coast band at that time, and that was my contemporary gospel group I had years ago. And what happened is he's brought out Andre Krauss came by, and he had these demo tapes from this group. And he said, man, you guys got to hear these guys. We just got out the studio, blah, blah, blah. He said, "These nobody's ever... this thing has never been played before."
Yeah.
And so we asked him, well, can we ever play it? And he said, well, it'll be out in a couple weeks where you can play it. And so we brought the first Winans tape back to Youngstown, Ohio. It was the Winans tape. And we had been out there with Don and that was a good
So that
time.
Had to be 80, that had to be 81, 82, 78, 79?
80, you're right, 81, 82. Yeah,
right,
because
I went to California in 84, and
uh-huh.
Their first real hit.
Well, this was the one that had Question Is on.
That's what I'm saying. That was the first, that was in 80, and that came out in about 82, 83.
Yes, it would have been
83. Well, and I heard it, actually, I said it again, heard it in 84.
I got that, the demo of that tape we brought back, and when God rest his soul, Melvin Catley was on the radio.
Wow.
He played it. Yeah.
Speaking of which, what's his name? Andre Cross is ill.
Oh, Lord.
So see, keep the family in your prayers. I mean, he is, for those of you who don't know, you've probably seen some of his songs most somewhere. He was one of the first crossover African-American gospel Christian artists ever. And so he's not doing well. He's been in the hospital for a while. He's had sugar, I believe, for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And the number is 347-945-5229, and it's open mic today. And Rick came in and changed the discussion, and everybody bounced out. You know that's what happens when you have open mic. So now I got to find another firestorm to go start. And I'm not fighting with you, Covina Man. How you like that?
He's a musician. He may give you a mic one day.
Is he gonna pay?
I don't know. What do you play, Covina Man?
You know, it depends on which band I'm playing with. I have a few bands that I play, so I play like all the instruments. So I'm a jack of all trades. So, well, I usually play bass, keys, or guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of pretty much switch between those.
Good deal. What style of music is about it? Is it everything?
Oh, we do. We just do like covers. Like someone that want a band to play 70s music or Beatles music or disco or 80s, yeah, like that. So they'll just hire a band and that's what I do.
Oh man, that's what's up. We do the same thing.
Oh, y'all play it all.
Yeah, well, I play keys as well, and saxophone, and I play drums at times. I'm not really a great drummer, but I grew up with a drum set in the house because my brother was a drummer. But I'm locked in pretty much between jazz and R&B.
Speaking of which,
and rock.
I got to throw this out here.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody who's local, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call us here locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. I was G.L. Rainey.
Mm-hmm.
Had a baby.
G. LaRon.
He had a baby.
Wait a minute.
And G. LaRon had a baby. So G. LaRon, I'm checking out G. LaRon and the baby. And this, I'm watching this young man. The baby, he just had the baby. The baby, I don't think the baby's walking yet. If the baby's walking, he's only walking like two steps and he's sitting down in his tuchus. He has this baby sitting on a drum set. Sitting at the keyboard. And with a headset on. I mean, the headset is as big as the baby.
Big as the baby, yeah.
And the baby is learning how to play the keys and the drums already. For those of you who don't know who G. LaRon Rainey is, he is a musician who used to be here, who's now in Kentucky. And Facebook is so amazing because it gives you the opportunity to stay in touch with people that you would not normally stay in touch with on an ongoing basis.
True.
And I'm watching him indoctrinate his child into what he does and who he is and who his father is. And as I watched it the other night, and the young man that called in earlier, he said, well, what can we do? This is where it starts. It starts where fathers sit down with their children and they put that which is in them in them. And when we don't allow daddies to be daddies, and then mothers come around and nurture what daddies are, it gives the children an identity. This is who I am and this is who you are. And I just thought that was just so amazing because the kid, I mean, I'm watching this little boy, and he is sitting at the drum set, and I want you, it's a baby. And I watched Ernest Walker do the same thing with his grandson.
Oh, man, and they got it.
And he's playing. This young man is playing. He can't read.
Israel's a bad boy.
He's playing.
Yeah.
And he's growing up, he's putting that which was in him, and he's speaking into his life and causing him to become that which he's called to be. And that's what fathers are all about. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, Teresa, I got some background noise. I ain't going to say a whole lot.
Okay, brother.
He's probably putting the dog out. Covina, man, what do you got? Any comments on your behalf? What's in the news? Because you know you're special.
I was just going to say, I do that too. Like in my office at work, I have a drum set and a keyboard and guitar. So I invite the kids to come in and just sit there and play to either, you know, deal with their frustration or sometimes they want to learn how to play, and I teach them. But
that's awesome.
That is.
Yeah. But anyway,
let me ask
in the
you
news.
This.
Oh, go ahead.
Ask me what in the news. What?
Oh no, I was gonna say in the news. I was gonna follow you. What's going on?
In the news, you liberals are crazy. That's what's in the news. That's why I'm trying to avoid it.
They think Obama is a liberal. He is not a liberal.
Obama's special.
He is a pure D
communist.
He's a communist, but that's the progressive thing, is that they have to have the people import communism for it to work, because they have to rule them.
But see, Jeff, you know, Covina man ain't gonna agree with you. I know,
that's okay.
I'm trying to find something for us to agree on.
He will when he got the same shoes as the neighbor got.
Hold on, did y'all hear what somebody in Detroit, Michigan, people stood in line for a week to get a pair of Air Jordans?
Well, they deserve to stay in line.
Yeah.
$250,
Tracy.
They stood in line for a week, and then who was dumb enough to pay $250 for a pair of sneakers?
It's the same people every year.
That's right.
Do they ever appreciate?
No, it's because they get the latest thing. It's the fact that that's what America has done. The system. When you talk about a system. And Rick was saying, have all of us just made mistakes? Think about this. You got people standing in that line that ain't going to pay their rent check with that $250. They're going to tell somebody that rent check is late. I don't care whether you're black or white, but they're going to sacrifice to get those Jordans, and they're going to wear them Jordans proudly.
But listen to this, and this is something that I found, and since you mentioned the American psyche.
Huh?
You know, and for those of you who don't know, I like toys. I like adult toys. I do. And I love electronics.
You shouldn't say that like that, Tracy.
Do they jump up and down when you put them on the desk?
Yeah, that didn't come out right.
You put them on the desk?
Yeah, that was a Freudian slip.
No, that's because all of you have dirty minds.
No, that's not dirty minds. That's how it's referred to. You got to learn words.
You guys, listen.
Loose tongues sink ships.
That's loose lips, not loose tongues. So going back to what I was saying, I like.
Romanticism, oh my!
You put it in its proper perspective, didn't you, Tracy?
Yes, I did.
Put it in the orange and blue perspective.
Now don't be surprised if Bill Clinton called in, Tracy.
That's all I got to say. I like adult toys and cigars.
Oh,
okay, let's
God.
Go. Let's go back to come back. Come on
so
down, guys.
Said something, got it.
Come on, I heard him.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Come on back down, guys, because you gotten gone too far.
Have a lower back.
You talking about going deep. We just went real deep.
Hold on. Listen. You guys have such dirty minds. Jeez,
that's
old
not
man.
Dirty.
Yes, that's dirty minds. Your minds are in the gutter.
That's not dirty.
Okay, you got gutter minds.
Gutter? Because what would anything have to do with?
Everything I said.
No, it just ain't maybe what you wanted to admit over the radio now. We didn't say it was dirty.
You guys got dirty minds.
Oh, that's
okay.
Not
let me
dirty.
Go back. Okay, it's not dirty. No. It's just, you guys got dirty minds. Okay, let me go back to what I was saying. I like adults. I like electronic toys. I like gadgets. But why do people stand in line, stay overnight to go see a movie? They stand in line for hours. They stand in line for hours to go to get the new iPhone 5. They stand in line for the new, you know, the new PlayStation, you know, whatever's coming out. They stand in line for a week for a pair of $250 shoes that they can't afford. But you can go there in a week, and you can walk in the door and just buy it.
It's like this. It goes back to when people were adolescents and they were in the 7th grade, 8th grade, and they would do the mama jokes on each other, or it was a way of, like, putting down somebody. I have these new shoes, and you don't. So it's very adolescent immaturity. They want to show that they have the upper hand this week. You know, and last week they were talked about not having the new whatever. Now this is their opportunity to do it. It's all in adolescence. It's just the way males compete. It's all
Hello, Tracy.
Good morning, Stanley. Do you do that also?
No, I'm not. I understand the all electronic thing, but I don't do the crazy things of waiting all day for the new iPhone and new this. I wait like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or whatever, while I wait for the new version to come in, or I buy the older version before. I never go to the crazy thing like that. But it comes to choices, like I'm saying. People have choices of basically deciding that a Jordan is more important than rent. A Jordan, it'll be more important than having
choice?
A book.
Is that a choice?
That's a choice.
Or is that
Stanley,
let me finish the question.
Yeah.
Is that a choice or is that an indoctrination?
No, that's a choice. That's a choice. Some people, you will tell them, yo, take your money of your Jordan and let me show you with that own money how to do, like, internet marketing that could double your Jordan.
Is that a choice is that an indoctrination?
Well, no, it's a choice.
But is it based on an indoctrination? African Americans are known for covering up their poverty. Hold on. I'm just going to be real. African Americans are known for being late. Is that a choice or is that an indoctrination?
No, I think it's an entertainment that people want to have right now and doing the sacrifice that they need to do with the money and do something with it.
That's not the question. That's not the question. We cover up our poverty, which means we will go out and don't get me wrong, white America is following suit real quick, but we'll go out and buy new shoes, new purse, new dress. New dress costs with new makeup, new gloves, new hat, new coat. To go one place, and then I can't wear that same thing to the next benefit because everybody that was at the one saw me at the last one, so I've got to go buy new. Is that indoctrination or is that choice?
I still think it's choice. Or I think it's disguising the hurt that you are because you're financially not happening, so you rather entertain yourself and think, you know what, if I can't be rich, I'm going to act like I'm rich, so let me go get the new Jordan, the new this, the new that, so I could cover up. Instead of sitting down and saying, you know what, I need to earn this much more money to be okay, and I need
but
to do that.
But let me ask you this:
does it
make a difference if I walk into the room with the same thing that you saw me on last week? Does it make a difference? Will people judge me by what I have on if they keep on seeing me in the same thing and they don't see me dressing like everyone else? If I
could,
that depends what your value
is. Yeah, go ahead, Bianchi.
You
know what you have here. Look at Mitt Romney when he was on stage with his sons. They had on plaid shirts, khaki pants, and, you know, some loafers.
Yeah.
This family comes from a very wealthy family. So you have to look at everything they had on together probably didn't cost $50.
Yeah, they did. Don't let them fool you.
You have to look at the environment, the culture, that these children that are standing in line for an hour for some Jordans to pay $250 come from, and what their values are that's coming out of those cultures. There's a displacement of values, and it is showing up not only in their inappropriate decision to stand there in line to pay that kind of ridiculous price for some tennis shoes, but it also shows up in other areas of their demonstration of being a citizen of this country. And many times, it's a dysfunctional portion of society that we have to come to terms with and realize that it's there.
So let me ask you this. Is it an indoctrination or is it a choice? Because a lot of
indoctrination.
Because, I mean, we find ourselves doing it not because we choose to, but it's just how it does.
Well, it's an indoctrination because they are choosing the wrong side of a choice. The other side of the choice was not even presented to them. Therefore, by their demonstrating this totally misplaced value, it has to be an indoctrination.
Can I say it like this, Tracy? when the man from, was it Florida, you said, was in the queue earlier? The guy from Florida that called in, he was telling us about reasoning.
No, he's from Youngstown.
Oh, very well. You got to let me know who that is. Anyway, inductive reasoning is based on an observation. People using inductive reasoning find a pattern in a collection of specific observations, and they draw a general conclusion based on the patterns. And last sentence, inductive reasoning is used heavily by social scientists conducting qualitative studies. Now, what happens is people give people half information, and people are going to make a decision based on what they have been told or what they understand. And if they only get half the information, they cannot make a clear, concise, or decision that's going to help.
That's right. The problem is that people really think those shoes are worth $250. They're not.
It's not even so much the worth of them. It's not the value of them. You got to realize somebody has convinced me that I need to put Calvin Klein on my behind so that I can have a good pair of jeans.
Yeah. I was the Jordache and Calvin Klein guy, because that's all I wore was jeans and a nice shirt.
So my question is, what our children, I mean, if you look at who's out there, it's our children who are standing out there, and our parents are promoting them standing out there for those $250 shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are. They're allowing them to do it. And see, like I said, you have to have control over your children.
But you can't have control over your children, going back to what I said earlier, mm-hmm. unless I have control over myself, because if we've always stood in line for $250 shoes, even when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched people dress up their kids in designer clothes and be on a public assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how fast children grow. Why would you put that much money on a child?
I agree.
There's something wrong with the functional thinking of people like that, Tracy. I mean, that's just all I can say. If you look at the background, and I'm talking about coming out of African-American community, black community, if you look at all the systems that's around them that affects their thinking, cause them to think in one direction in particular, then you can understand why come these decisions are being made and why they've been played out. I don't blame it on parents, because the parents suggest that this is functional as what the children would end up being.
That's
sorry.
What I'm saying.
Let me add this to you.
Hold on, one at a time. Go ahead, Eric.
You can't ignore the fact that these are basketball shoes as well. Now, there's always that issue in the black community that kids have to grow up to be the entertainers or athletes. And we all know that there's a very small percentage of these kids that grow up and succeed. But yet, let's put that image in their mind. Basketball shoes, expensive. You know, it's crazy.
The same way, and let me say this, and I'll go back to what I said a little bit earlier about G. Laurent. He is a musician who is a paid, that's how he makes his living.
One of the baddest in the planet.
He is teaching his son how to become a part of the music industry. But we watch people do the same thing with sports, and they didn't make anything out of it. And women do it with pageantry and with cheerleading and whatever. And so we begin to make up our kids into what we did not become, not so that they can have a skill, but so that they can try to become something that I didn't become. So they go after a dream instead of becoming a doctor. I was talking to Dr. Pruitt the other day, and his son, who is now a doctor in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to Dr. Jaffe the other day, and his son is now a physician.
Absolutely.
So my question is, what am I putting into my children so that they will become a broadcast media mogul?
I don't know. It seems like it's this idea that, you know, if my son's wearing these $250 shoes, he's going to be a better basketball player. And that's ridiculous. You can have a $10 pair of basketball shoes, be out on the court in the middle of the inner city, and be just as good as Jordan, if not better. You don't need a pair of $250 shoes to do it. You need somebody guiding you along the way.
I was going to add this, Tracy. I think that the idea of, like, materialism is not isolated anywhere whatsoever in the black community with sneakers, because people will spend $50,000 on a wedding ring, $100,000 on a wedding. They'll spend $5,000 on a dress. That is not nowhere near isolated. The all of America is focused on materialism. That's all of America.
No. The difference between no. Don't get me wrong. White America is rolling over into, and white America is there, but it is more concentrated in inner city America, especially in impoverished people, because, again, we hide our poverty.
You hide your poverty, but you also make yourself feel better by getting something that is a status symbol and something that you want, because you feel like you're a better person for having it. And And so it's an enigma. It's a counterpoint to yourself when you're not choice award.
Yeah, hello.
When you're not getting yourself together to more or less before you buy those things, get something built up before you have something to buy those things with.
But my question is, does it make a difference if I still show up in the same shirt?
Well, it makes a difference because you're not showing off your shirt. You're showing off that $250 pair of shoes.
Whether it be tennis shoes or whether it be the same dress every time you see me at an event, does it make a difference?
It doesn't make
no, not really.
Nobody cares.
But let me finish this point. I think that it's just symbolic within the black community, but it's not earth shaking because, like, the black community's spending money on tennis shoes is not equivalent to $16 trillion of debt that's been spent not by the poor, but by the haves. That's the poor didn't send us $17 trillion in debt.
I agree with you.
Yeah, but part of the debt is for expenditures that did go specifically to the quote-unquote poor.
Yeah, but very little. 3-4% period of that total.
But, you know, here's another point. We cannot... I know where we come from. We say, well, whites do it too. But until we get – we'll tell blacks who make up, 13% of the population can show a household income that's equivalent or even above whites. You know, for such a small portion of the population, that should not be beyond the realm of accomplishment. When you look at other ethnic groups who make up even less portion of the population who have achieved it. Then, you know, we can say, well, look at whites doing. We should concentrate on the inequities that we have in our own ethnic group, whereas it can be left where we don't be a burden on society.
But also,
But we ought to be a contributor to society. Let me take my break, and when I come back, Philadelphia.
I agree with you.
And where we're missing out is we're not contributing.
Well, in certain ways.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Steel Outdoor Power Equipment is as dependable and hardworking as the people who use it. People like firefighter Dan Eddy.
I love steel products. We use them on my job with the fire department. I use them at home.
This season, dependable steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Hardworking steel blowers start at just
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
From ABC News, I'm Richard Davies. Secretary of State John Kerry is going to Iraq as the U.S. looks for ways to stop the Sunni insurgency and keep Iraq from falling apart. But the U.S. has also been critical of the Maliki government led by Shiites. Democrat Carl Levin chairs the Senate Armed Services Committee.
The problem in Iraq has not been a lack of direct U.S. military involvement, but rather a lack of inclusiveness on the part of Iraq's leaders.
300 U.S. Special Forces are going in as military advisors to the Iraqi government. The Army officer in charge of protecting the country's biggest oil refinery says insurgents are likely to attack again. Vice President Joe Biden heading to Central America for talks with the region's leaders. It's over the immigration crisis involving tens of thousands of children who've headed north up across the U.S. border. heated exchanges between the IRS commissioner and Republican members of the House Ways and Means Committee. Eight federal employees connected to an investigation into the IRS targeting of political groups had hard drive crashes. They lost emails. Republican Congressman Paul Ryan criticized the commissioner, John Koskinen.
You asked taxpayers to hang on to 7 years of their personal tax information in case they're ever audited, and you can't keep 6 months' worth of employee emails?
The committee was told the computers crashed in 2011. Minnesota's governor issued an emergency declaration because of flash flooding in parts of his state. 1,000 homes damaged in Mankato, south of Minneapolis. Brian Fowler is a local resident and is hoping that federal aid will help people clean up the mess.
Well, I hope it draws enough attention that FEMA does come in and kicks in and we can get some of that federal funding.
More wet weather expected today for much of the Midwest. This is ABC News.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-520-9330. That's 800-520-9330. Don't wait. Call 800-520-9330.
Ladies, how many pounds have you gained since turning 40? How many times have you stood in front of a mirror and thought, I really need to lose this weight? Well, if this sounds like you, please call the Ambrin Hotline at 1-800-884-8146. At Ambrin, we specialize in breakthrough solutions specifically tailored to women over 40, including hormonal balance, relief from menopausal symptoms, and yes, effective weight loss. So if you are a woman over 40, call now for your 100% risk-free trial and start losing pounds. Call 800-884-8146. That's 800-884-8146.
A California man arrested by police has become an internet sensation after police posted his mugshot. Apparently, says ABC's Scott Goldberg, the guy is pretty good looking.
Police in Stockton, California arrested 30-year-old Jeremy Meeks during a sweep for gang members.
And they found a pistol in my trunk.
And police posted his mugshot on their Facebook page. His dreamy mugshot. Baby blue eyes, teardrop, and neck tattoos. It has more than 50,000 likes and more than 15,000 comments, including gorgeous and hot with several T's, and he can kidnap me any day.
Well, I appreciate that. But
Meeks gave ABC station KXTV this jailhouse interview.
I just visited my wife, and she said that I blew up all over Facebook.
Yep, he's already married, and he's a convicted felon. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
The U.S. has blacklisted Thailand and Malaysia for failing to meet minimum standards for fighting human trafficking. This could strain relations with two U.S. allies in the region. Richard Davies, ABC News.
If your computer is running...
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, did the show go on?
I don't know. I just wanted to make my comment when they were talking about financial mismanagement that a lot of African-American people get into if they're in the poor category. But
and
they kept talking over. They wouldn't let me in.
What was that comment?
Yeah, well, I know people that work in real estate in this city, and a lot of them deal with African-American clients all the time. And in this, and in the environment that we're in now, a lot of people are going to look at the credit score very closely. It's very difficult for you to rent an apartment today if you live in an urban area, if you have a credit score that's below, say, a range of 600 or 550. And what's happening is with these neighborhoods being gentrified, a lot of African Americans who work are trying to hold on to their homes, or they're trying to be able to buy a home. They can't buy a home if they have problems with credit. And that's what a lot of African Americans who are in the middle income range, they have a lot of problems with credit.
But don't
and
you
so
think that
that's
be...
going to prevent them from getting a mortgage.
And
there's
don't
a man
you...
here, his last name is Gamble. He's worked in real estate, and he's also been in the music business, but he developed a company to help for the formation of charter schools and to develop different types of affordable housing. And what he found is that it's not just the academic education that poor African Americans lack in. They don't have
but also
he's found that a lot of them, they don't have the financial education either.
And a lot of the African American
educators who tried to start charter schools, they've been accused of all types of financial mismanagement. They can't manage the finances of the school properly. So this is a problem in the African-American community. They have problems with money. They don't manage money well.
And you're in the Northeast, right?
Kenneth Gamble's a pretty nice guy.
That rapture comes, there'll be nothing.
We're back and listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, sorry about that. I got caught up in it. I haven't listened to it for a while. And I was telling stories about my days in L.A. when I just had a flashback. So you guys had to go through it. I'm sorry.
I just can't talk about the original was better. Of course original. Elton John was the king.
That was not a perspective.
Right.
I happen to like that one.
This was gospelized, my friend. It had message about God.
Who said that?
Deep H. Teal.
Oh.
In the chat.
What do you want? What do you want? Hey, Eric, what's going on, Doc? What are they talking about in the break? Oh, I told Into Knowledge I was going to pull him up. Into Knowledge, how you doing, darling?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, darling?
I'm doing good. What's new in your world?
Man, you know, I was listening to you guys talking about the people lining up for the...
Jordan.
Tennis
shoes.
And it had me thinking. Yesterday, I spent $30, and now that I'm awake today, I feel guilty about the $30 I spent, and I'm going to tell you why. When I was growing up, and I'm dating myself, when I was growing up, the tennis shoes to have was Chuck Taylor's.
I got a pair of Chucks right now.
Wait a minute.
You have Chuck Taylors on, and what we would do is we would make the laces special, so it would be special tennis shoes. Go ahead.
There you go. And what we would do is that whatever color you bought, whether it was red, whether it was orange, whatever, you would buy matching shoestrings with the shoestrings that came with it, and you would double them up, and then we would put, like, little stars on the outside. And do you know those Chuck Taylors were $9.95? That exact same shoe today sells for over $60.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that a shame?
Exact same shoe.
Go to Kohl's.
And you guys had me thinking, because back in the day when you had the way you could really have status was to have a pair of either Pumas or Adidas, and that was that was like top of the line. Those were like Chuck Taylors were like $10, but if you have Pumas or Adidas, that was like $25 or $30. Now
I had white leather Pumas.
Yeah. Now with this whole new Jordan thing, man, I'm a DSW freak myself. I got it from my mom. I love shoes. I went and bought every time I go to DSW. I buy at least two pairs. I got me some Italian loafers, $122. I cannot imagine paying. I have never paid over $70 for a pair of sneakers, ever in my life. I refuse to do it. My son was never raised on that. He always had fresh sneakers, but I never bought him Jordan. Ever. And those shoes cost what? Like $10 to make?
Something like that.
It costs like $10.
Yeah, $6 to $10.
Here's my knock on Jordan. You guys remember when they were like taking shoes from kids at gunpoint and all of that back in Jordan's height? I could never figure out why he didn't make a deal with Nike and say, you know what, we're going to give these shoes away because I don't like what's going on. I had a real problem with that. But then again, Jordan was the creator of the brand. He was the creator of the whole me era and that whole genre in the black community because he was so good at what he did, it passed. Everybody gave him a pass. I never did. And I don't understand it to this day. You guys said that they were lined up in Detroit 94%
for a week.
City's bankrupt. Can't sell your property, but you line up to buy a pair of shoes, tennis shoes, for $250. That's retarded to me.
But let me say this, and I think you're onto something here. And I understand Michael Jordan's the way I'm a capitalist. I understand, you know, making money. But my question is, when is enough enough? And when do we start taking responsibility and taking our economics or our economic development that we attain personally and making sure it helps goes back collectively to help the whole?
Well,
Martin Luther King lost his life. Medgar Evers lost his life. Malcolm X lost his life so that I could do what I do today. When do we start losing our lives for the sum total for the next generation?
It's not going to happen. Look at the way we lose our lives now. You can step on somebody's shoes, all of a sudden, that you at gunpoint. You say the wrong thing, all of a sudden, you're at gunpoint. So we live in a society today where life is not even valued. The things that we're talking about right now, sneakers, bling, all of these other things, that's value. Somehow it got flipped, and now we're in a situation where if you don't look the part, you're not the part.
So when do we start taking ownership and responsibility for what we're talking about? Because, see, a week, I mean, this is not an overnight thing. People stood in line for a week.
It's retarded, Tracy.
For a pair of shoes, which means they could not.
But
let me say this, and I got to throw the political part back into this. Not only did we stand in line for a week for something that we couldn't afford, but we get mad if we stand in line for an hour to go and vote.
Yes.
Yeah, Tracy, but that's not all of society. That's just a certain segment of society that's doing that.
Yeah.
That's associated with a lot of other things. And normal people try to isolate themselves from that, and they do a very good job. Now, where the problem comes in is when you have these progressives, these neocons, and some of these social engineers that want to start infringing upon your isolation and try to impose some of those rules, regulations, habits, and activities and behaviors onto you.
But
and
all
tell you what you can't do to your
Philadelphia.
Church.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Philadelphia, I want to let you in.
But also you have an urban culture where you have a sneaker culture where people, they try to collect as many different types of sneakers as they possibly can. And Jordan and people like him and also people like Sean John or Puff Daddy, they put their factories where they manufacture their clothes in these different types of third world countries, and they're able to exploit the labor over there. So the people who are living in these urban centers, they don't even realize the different types of working conditions that people have to go through to actually make these clothes.
They don't care.
Right, they don't care, but also if they, you know, a lot of African Americans, they're not able to pay their bills on time. As a result, that's going to affect different types of things like their credit score, which is being used in terms of employment. And also, I was told by a person who was a realtor, if your score is below 600, it's very difficult for people to even rent an apartment today. So they basically, they're starting to use the credit score for everything, and with these neighborhoods being gentrified, a lot of the people who are the activists are trying to influence people to buy their homes.
you know, if the person has the type of income to buy a home. But a lot of people don't qualify to buy homes because they have problems with their credit.
But
so
the mindset of the people of what we're talking about, you got to understand, if you can stand in line for a week, what kind of job do you have?
Right.
You don't.
Yeah, you don't have a job unless you took vacation to do that, which makes you two times a fool.
That's hell. Heck, Tracy, damn the job. What kind of deodorant do you have?
Well, don't nobody care about that either.
I'm just saying. When I look at people, stand in line to go vote and they could vote by mail, it baffles me because I don't have that kind of time to stand in line for that long. Even when I go to an amusement park, I don't have that kind of time to do that. I mean, who has time to stand in line for 4 days or for 30? You know, I had a hard time at the grocery store, and it's only about 4 minutes.
Right.
That's the world we live in today. We live in a world of instant gratification, whether it be fast food, microwave, everything is instantaneous. And what it breeds is a very warped mentality. Because we can all of us on the phone right now, we remember when you could call somebody and there was no call waiting, the line would be busy, you had to call the operator and say, I want to make an emergency call. That's how the call got interrupted if you wanted to talk to somebody. You know what I'm saying? There was no answering machine. So if you missed the call, you just missed the call.
You just missed it.
Now we live in a world where everything is right there for us. So taking the phone call as an analogy, you can have your phone with you 24/7. You can turn it off. As soon as you turn it back on, you see all the calls that were missed. They can actually leave you a voice message or they can leave you a text message. And what this does is it breeds a sense of complacency, and this spills over into everyday aspects of life to where, like you said, Tracy, if you go to the grocery store and you're 4 minutes in line, that's too long. I know on my last job, I was managing accounts for a charge card company, and people would call in, and I'd be like, all right, I'm going to send you an email or I'm going to fax it to you. I'd send it, and we're on the phone, and within 30 seconds, they're like, oh, I haven't gotten it yet. And I'm like, I just sent it to you 30 seconds ago. I know, but I should have it by now. 30 seconds? Really?
Hit your send and receive button, doggone it.
Exactly. Check. And then check your junk mail.
So is that conditioning us to be impatient? Is that conditioning us to, you know, to where? Because like I said, I mean, I've watched people stand in line for I can understand standing in line to save some money because you got to buy a flat screen TV on Thanksgiving morning, so you go out at 4 o'clock in the morning to try to get it. But I don't understand standing in line for something that's going to be the same price 5 days later with no line.
You wasn't the first to get it.
Well, see, but what I think is happening is people are not able to financially manage their finances well today. That's the reason why they're buying all these different types of electronic goods and so forth, and they don't know what percentages of their income are supposed to go to rent, are supposed to go to buying a car, are supposed to go to buying these different goods rather than spending all of their money on these things.
How can you not know that?
They know it. It's not about not knowing.
Not doing. No discipline.
The thing is, it's not just about. Sometimes it's about not disciplining, but it's about this. When you're down on the bottom of the totem pole, you get sick of not having something for you, and so therefore you go out and you make sure you get something for you. And it may not be convenient at that moment. It may not be right at that moment. But you're going to do it because you're You're on the bottom of the poll.
Okay. Right. I'm with you on the bottom of the poll, Jeff. I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make me spend a for. That doesn't make me stay outside for a week.
No, that's your kids doing it.
No. This is not kids doing. These are parents doing it for the kids.
Well, they,
this is when the line that was out there.
Yeah.
These were not teenagers standing outside with nothing else to do.
I thought that's what it was. Whoever that is does not have a job, and they're getting assistance. Guaranteed.
And Tracy, those same people, those same parents won't go to a PTA meeting. They won't go to the school to see what the hell is going on when they get notices about either their child not being there or their child needs to be put on medication because they're ADD or ADHD or whatever.
Is this a learned behavior or is this a behavior that we can overcome? Because if you look at what's going on, it's growing.
You asked a question. Yes, it's a learned behavior, and yes, it can be overcome.
So
and
how do we overcome it?
The main way you overcome it, you have to have better parenting at a very early stage in life, and people have to be taught some type of financial education as
an
adult.
This ain't finances. This is just people.
Common sense.
If we could go back through and at least start out with a young group of kids now and teach them, look, you work, whatever you're going to do, you go to in a business or you work, you live as meaningable as you can. You live as lenient as you can. Don't live on your whole paycheck. Don't do this, that, and other, because once you get out of that, it's so hard to get back in. And you never save anything for yourself for a rainy day. You don't have it. And because many of us are born in poverty, we know nothing about a rainy day saving. And so you're dealing with no knowledge in a lot of instances, and then you're dealing with just bad behavior and hiding poverty in another.
But again, and so my question is, I think Philadelphia said, well, you got to have good parenting. Well, it's kind of hard when the parents and the kids are all in the same boat, and it continues on. It perpetuates until it's out of control, and you see it.
This is why I keep telling people, I said a little earlier in the chat room, we have to learn to be independent in this nation because we had a different way of coming up in it. And because we did, we can't conduct ourselves haphazardly. We have to start teaching people differently and screaming, "Listen, you're killing yourself."
But Jeff, I don't want that. See, this is where my frustration comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Society does not want me to be different because they make money on my ignorance.
They make money and they keep in power on your ignorance.
They make money on they stay in power on my. They keep money on. They, if you want to know why Walmart is the way Walmart is, we can look at our lack of savings and you can find out where the money that we should have is. It's at Walmart.
Oh yeah. At Walmart and the sneaker stores. And
if you want to know where, if you want to know,
hairdresser,
absolutely. Don't mess with the hairdresser.
Still, that's where it's at.
But Jeff.
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying. Yes, we need to go back to the basic, which is called self-sufficient. And being self-sufficient is stop depending on having a job. That's what I think we have to go back. It's stop telling your kids that basically go get your degree, your college degree, whatever degree you have. And go get a job. No, go get your degree and find out with that degree what could you do to build something so you can leave that to a generation or to another generation and build something with it. Stop depending on a paycheck. Stop depending on this. That's the biggest problem
all right.
I think we have.
But listen,
I'm with you.
We say that all the time. And my thing is you need to get the job. So that you
no,
can
you
learn
don't.
Business. Listen,
no,
let
you
me
don't.
Finish.
You don't need
Stanley.
To. Wait. You
Stanley.
Don't need to know your job.
Stanley, listen to what I'm saying. A good work ethic comes from working. And most people, if you look at what's going on right now, you need to go and work somewhere. And you need to be an employer, so you know an employee, so you know how to employ.
No,
I don't
agree with that, Tracy.
You don't have,
you need to have mentors who know how to create business and teach you how to create a business. You don't need to work for somebody. You need to have people who've done the diligence, who've earned the money, $20 million, whatever million dollars, and they need to sit down with you and show you the ways that you could earn that money. You don't need to work for somebody. You don't need that work ethic, because there's many people who are very successful with their work ethic, but they'll never make it.
But the problem is that among African Americans, they don't have those mentors like you have. Like in terms of Asians, they're able to start small businesses because they get their family members involved, and they have other Asian business people who are in that community who help them in terms of financing and so forth. You don't find that. Like in terms of black people, don't. The majority of black people don't have those types of resources.
Here's the thing that we don't quite get. You know, when we start looking at things, particularly on a national level, our population is such that we don't realize just how many black people there are in America, how many white people are in America, and how many Asians. And we kind of look at things as being relative. There are not a whole bunch of Asians in this country. So therefore, you know, when you see as many Asians being successful as there are, you think that, you know, there's something going on. There's really not anything going on. And it's basic business, you know. The business principles that have been working for in the United States have been working for a long time. And the problem is, we, as black people, have basically abandoned those principles and bought into the principle that says, let's sit down and let the government take care of us.
Right.
And
basically
a slave mentality.
Even with that, Philadelphia, it's not even slave mentality. It's Stockholm syndrome.
I think we want to your mentality of let's sit down and have a job instead of let's sit down and see what we can
Stanley,
do with this.
Even with that, Stanley, you have black people that have worked for people for years and years and years that are very successful and made a very good living without owning a business. You know?
Yeah.
So you can't say that unless you get out there and start your own business, you can be successful. No, it's going to take all things. I've had three or four businesses, you know, over the past 10 years. One was very, very successful until I lost my distributor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
at least you could teach the other people, since you've done the three, four businesses that work, you should be a teacher. We should put you in class and teach people how to succeed. You should be an example.
That's where I'm heading. But the thing about it is, you know, we have bought into this one ideology, one thing has got to work for everybody, and it doesn't. You know, people, Stanley, you're up in New York. You know people that what they do is stand on the corner and sell their artwork and do a very good job at it. You know, probably know people who work in the sanitation department. You probably know people who own their own businesses, okay? But they're very good at it, and that's what they do. But you can't, you know, how many successful people you know on welfare?
Also, if a person gets public assistance, it takes any type of sense where they would have an incentive to do anything because the person is receiving something from the government for nothing. So therefore, you basically have people who are living in these urban centers who basically have no ambition. I mean, if they expect that check to come at a certain time of the month, then that's guaranteed funds for them, and they don't have to make any effort to get it. And they can easily get different types of Section 8 housing. They don't have to they're basically at a point where they don't have to pay like high amounts of money for rent, and they don't have to pay like any type of market level rent in these urban centers. So therefore, their lifestyle is completely different from anyone else. And that's the reason why they fall behind and they find themselves and they're trapped in poverty for long periods of time.
Well, look, I've got some individuals, okay, in the senior citizens complex, Section 8 202. The only thing they do is they pay their rent. They don't pay any utilities, no light bill, no water bill. But, you know, the government subsidizes their income, their housing. But these folks are all 62 years or older under a certain income, okay? Now, if you've got someone that's 25 that's getting the same thing, what incentive do they have if they know that they can stay on that system until they die?
Right. And then in terms of...
They just adjust their lifestyle.
Right.
To fit the amount of money that they're getting for a month. They don't have to go out and buy anything or do anything. But it just amazes me how you can be on assistance and afford a pair of $500 Michael Jordan tennis shoes or $250 Michael Jordan tennis shoes.
It's because their main income that they work for, they don't have to pay any real bills with that income. So therefore, if they're making $15 an hour by being a guard someplace, they don't have to go out and start to pay a rent that's very high. And if they have to pay a gas bill or any type of bill like that, they're able to qualify for some type of government subsidy to help them pay their bills. So they're not paying the market level of, you know, like in terms of their bills. And that's one of the main reasons why they're able to waste so much money on things like sneakers and cell phones and things of that sort.
Well, Philly, now if you're making, you know, a certain amount of money and you can take $500 and buy a daggone, you know, a pair of tennis shoes, something that's disposable, if you can save that money, man, come on, bro. You can be able to buy a house.
But also, you know, it's in terms of the sneakers, but they're able to buy these expensive cell phones, too, and all types of flat-screen TVs and so forth because they're not because they don't have to pay the same type of bills as everyone else. You know, they're able to get these government subsidies to help them pay their bills, so therefore they can take the money that they work for and they can spend it on these other items.
And also, I think a lot of them, like Jet said, want to escape. And when they feel that they can escape, they want to feel like they're part of the crowd. They want to feel like they want to escape. So they rather have a Jordan or a telephone or anything that makes them escape from the situation that they're going through. The thing is, I feel a lot of them, if they would just take that money and go to somebody like you who've done 3-4 business or somebody who's successful in this and help them. Look, I'll pay you 250 or 300 or 500 bucks. Show me the way you've done that business so I could do the same thing. It would be better for them.
But that's the thing I was saying. You don't find those business mentors like in terms of the only place you find them are people who are Asian, have those type of mentors in place. But in terms of black people, they tend to not have those types of people who can mentor them in business in place, and that's the reason why they find themselves just getting a job someplace and getting a certain wage and being satisfied with that, and then they're able to get the government subsidies to help pay their bills. And therefore, they can take the money they work for and they can spend it on cell phones and sneakers and other things that they don't need. And as a result, the majority of them are just caught in a cycle. You know, it's just that cycle of poverty.
That sounds like the kind of stuff my daughter tried when she got out of college. She'd come home, eat our food, and live in our house, and took the money that she made working in a little part-time job and spend it on her and partying. Well, that stopped pretty quick.
Right, because, you know, as I was saying, a lot of people who are activists now, what's happening in these neighborhoods is they're being gentrified. People are starting to lose their homes because, in the first place, they may have rented the home. They didn't own the home. and the rents are going up so high they're not able to pay them anymore. They're being pushed out, and if they have problems with their credit, they don't qualify to get a mortgage. Because like I said, if you have a credit score that's below 600 now, I was told by someone who's a realtor, it's even difficult to rent an apartment. So therefore, you know, if you try to get a mortgage for a home that's $200,000 or more, and like if the person doesn't have the proper credit score, then that person's not going to qualify. And that's what's happening.
Hey, Billy,
I mean,
I'll tell you what, man, if you were to come down here, you would be absolutely shocked at the price of houses down here now. You for $45,000. Matter of fact, I saw one the other day. For the house was listed at $39,000. Had 1,500 square feet, three bedroom, two baths, an attached garage. Hey, the prices are low down here.
Right.
So the prices of houses all over the place are kind of low. But why would you not want to go ahead and purchase your home? A home for yourself and try and do that. Most people's wealth comes from their property anyway.
But sometimes, like in the larger cities, it was difficult to buy a home. People didn't have the money to do it, and they would rather rent. And then if something would break, then like it's not going to fall on them, and they're not going to be responsible for any repairs to the home and so forth. Because a lot of them didn't have the income to do repairs. So, you know, so therefore you found a lot of people who didn't buy homes. But what's happening now is...
945-5229. That was a speech that Ashton Kutcher had given at the Teen Awards in 2013.
Right.
And you know, we were talking about jobs and work and thinking and conditioning. And you heard people screaming and hollering just as they didn't hear a word he said. Pretty much not. But now, because you have playback technology, you got to say what he actually said was very, very true. And Stanley and I may disagree about this, but you've got to work somewhere. That's what's wrong with our people now. We don't want to work for free. We don't want to work for money. And then we want to go get a job and sit down and act like we're the boss. But being the boss takes a lot of work.
Yeah, but you don't need to work for somebody to learn all those skills. You just need
okay.
to. I think you need to have somebody who is successful who shows you that, because I've saw too many people who've done all who's very work oriented, but will
never
become a boss and will never be successful because they don't have the system.
I've never seen a successful businessman who didn't have a job first.
I've saw many people who didn't have a job. You want to have one person, one of the most successful person
that never had a job.
Virgin. Never had a job. Said in his mind, I'm never going to work for somebody. Never had a job.
Oh, no. Yes, he did.
Well, he did.
Even
Virgin never did. I read his biography.
Did. Richard had a job even if he did not get paid.
No, he did his business. He started his business by doing printing things and everything. That was his first thing. He started printing ad and everything to do that. He never had a job. He never worked for somebody. He always worked on his own.
So he is the only one that you can name?
No, I can name many people who don't.
Okay,
who
keep
don't
on going.
That.
There's nobody that didn't work no job. They had to do something to find out that they weren't going to do it. He had something to put him in place.
Right.
No, maybe he had something, but he never worked for somebody. He never started like, let me go get a job and find out with
Stanley,
somebody.
Stanley,
no,
I said, even if you work for free, even if you were intern, even if you were working
for
someone.
He didn't work for somebody.
Even if you work for your parents, you don't call that a job. You still got a job. Something said, you know, I never want to work for somebody else. He didn't wake up with the epiphany saying, I'm never going to work for anybody else.
Well, his parents told him that from the beginning.
So
you have two roles in his life. And there's some people who aren't like that.
I'm not going to fight with you in the last 10 minutes of my show.
Go ahead.
I'm saying is our problem with people is that we don't work.
Yeah.
We don't work a job. We don't work for free. We don't volunteer. We don't clean our house. We don't work around the house. We don't do nothing. We play games all day. We wait for somebody to give us something. And then we go to work and want to be the boss and sit in the office and do nothing and get everybody else to work for us. That's not work. That's not
but
reality.
But also, I
and
think
that's not
that,
work.
But also, I part of the problem is we don't have people who are successful who shows us a better way.
Yes, we do.
You
have a lot of mentors.
Who are successful
definitely.
And tell them tomorrow I'll show you how to make $1 million. And you'll
have
to do this.
We don't have
work.
People who want to work. I will tell people, you can come in here and work for me. They'll tell me, well, if you're not going to pay me X amount of dollars, I'm not coming to work. And then when they come here, all they want to do is sit and talk. That's not the job.
Yeah. But the main thing is you have to have the knowledge of business if you're going into business for yourself. A lot of us don't have the knowledge base for business.
That's because
and
we don't
result,
go to work.
We're not able to manage the business properly. You have people who are educators here who tried to start charter schools. They got in all kinds of trouble in terms of they couldn't manage the finances of the charter school properly, and they were getting all kind of funds from the state and everything else. But they couldn't manage the school properly. As a result, the state had to close down a lot of the charter schools in Pennsylvania because you had
do you realize how many
mismanagement.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
Tracy.
Hi, South Carolina. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good morning. I was in the chat room. But my first experience in radio, I didn't get paid for it. I worked for 6 months straight. On a volunteer basis, learning the board, learning how to do radio, learning how to talk on the radio, learning what things to say, what not to say. And I thought about it while you guys are talking. I have apprenticed on several different jobs and not got paid for it just to learn the skill. And once I learned the skill, I started making money at it. And then that's something that seems to be missing. People don't want to be apprentices.
I just got a tweet on Facebook. And what Bill said on Facebook, he says, do you know how many businesses have failed before they became successful?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
See, we don't want to work.
Right.
Hold on, John.
The majority of successful business people are going to fail 5 or 6 times in a business before they find one that's going to be successful. But the main thing is we're not able to manage money properly, and we don't have the knowledge of business. As we're going into it. That's one of the main faults a lot of African American business
has. But you keep, Philadelphia, please stick with the subject. The issue is, do you have to work? You've got to learn it somewhere.
That's what I'm saying is for African Americans, they need to work at a job before they go into business in that particular field because they don't have the business mentors.
Go ahead, AJ. His mic's not up. You don't have to be in the industry because business is business.
Not just African Americans too.
We're talking about
everybody.
Everyone.
Here.
Everybody it's everyone.
Work. Think about today. What did I just do?
What do you mean? What did you do?
Yeah, I was gonna say,
what are you talking about?
I'm starting from the bottom here.
I made you go to work.
Exactly. I actually went out and did something, and that's why I wasn't on today because I actually did work. I went out and helped the station.
And he came in here and thought he was going to talk on the radio, and
yeah.
I sent him to work.
Yeah.
8214.
Yeah.
Your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, this is Kat. Remember me?
Yes, I do. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I listen to you guys talk on here, and I know John pretty well from other shows. We've talked that you all sound really unhappy. You all need to move to Austin and be part of this boom down here and get some good jobs.
Yeah, I'd love to come to Austin.
No, I
used to party in Austin.
I ain't trying to party in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't trying to party at all.
I am.
No.
Best barbecue in the world down
there.
No,
it's not.
Yes, it is. You
no,
just went
not.
The wrong place.
No, it's not the best barbecue in the world.
Other than Charlie Staples here, it is.
What'd you think, Kat?
Well, I was just going to say that Austin is now 7% black, and I can tell you why. It's because black people get jobs. This is like a really... a business-friendly state, and if other states would just adopt some of our policies, like no corporate taxes, I mean, I just don't get it. This, as you know, it's the fastest growing city in the United States, which I'm not really happy about, because I'm telling you, everywhere there's a little square inch of land, they're building these high rises and developments. But I just think we don't have these big, you know, when I listen to you all talk, I grew up on the East Coast myself, and I hear you all talk about all these problems, and I'm like, it's because your state's not business friendly.
And we're working on it,
yeah.
If you create a permanent underclass, you're going to have a bigger bureaucracy and government's going to grow. Hello.
Well, that's what's happening in the Northeast. I mean, you basically have a social welfare system that's enormous, and that's the reason why the business tax rates up here are so high. You know, for business tax, for property tax, and everything else, the taxes in the Northeast are extremely high because they use the taxes to keep the public schools open, to deal with health care and other issues that they have, and they're not able to attract the startup businesses up here, and that's the reason why.
It costs too much. The taxes
right,
are way too high.
Right, it costs too much, yeah.
It's too high. But that's not just the model in the Northeast, my friend. It's here in the Midwest with us, and it's on the West Coast as well and in the South.
You see it in California.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, West Coast
so,
and the
I mean,
South.
But you have to realize that is the model for someone else's success. It's by design.
Absolutely.
There's a reason why they don't want you to be financially independent. Financially independent people cannot be controlled.
And that's why you can't be controlled. And so that was my analogy to Kavina. I mean, he's gone, so I won't worry about it. But when you throw somebody a line while they're drowning, they're going to grab onto that line or while they're swimming in the ocean and don't know which way to go. They're going to grab onto that line. And if they never pull you on to the boat, guess what? You never attain. You just get dragged along with their machine, and you're never really part of them, but you're connected because of that little supply line that keeps you down there, and that's the problem. That's why I hate about the political structure of the black community. That's what I hate about it, because they're scared to challenge their own base of people. You're going to call and challenge your base today, your people today.
Absolutely.
But the thing is when we do that, we're allowed to challenge even if they... Hey, man, is that it?
I'll let you guys go for another minute or so.
But I'm saying they won't challenge nothing. And they just get carried along with every wind and doctrine that side shows. And when they lie to them, tell them, they're trying to take your vote. They get you all masked around
to
keep them in power.
But you know, and Kat, to go back to what you were saying, we down in Texas, if you notice, you guys got somebody running for governor down there.
Greg, are you talking about Greg Abbott?
Yes, there's a Democrat that's running for governor down there that they're really trying to make.
That's
Miss Wise.
That's Wendy Davis. Yeah, she got a big hunk of her funding from Planned Parenthood. Are you surprised?
Right. And with her running down there in Texas, you can see her agenda, and they're actually trying to flood the market of Texas with immigrants so that they can get them to vote Democrats, because they want to turn Texas blue.
Blue.
And they've already MSNBC has already set forth the plan of what they're going to do is to turn Texas blue. Because they want Texas.
Yeah, they want it.
You know what, though, Tracy? You know what, Tracy? I know some folks from Texas, and I got a friend of mine lives in San Marcos, and he says if they think they're going to pull some mess like that, you think playing Cowboys and Indians was rough.
All my friends live in Texas.
All my exes live in Texas.
That night. I'm big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
See, Kat, what you
But that's why they want to do something with immigration so it can allow all these refugees from Central America to vote in the fall elections. I think that's one of the reasons why they're letting them through the border.
They're not refugees.
I said that, didn't I?
They will be by 2016. That will be by 2016.
What'd you say, Kat?
They'll find a way to vote without being citizens. Don't worry.
Well, as a matter of fact, they're all underage. So the question is, are we going to find a way for them to vote while they're underage since you can't show an ID?
The underage kids that are here, their parents have to be able to come and get them and take care of them. They'll be given a chance at amnesty as well. That's what they did this for. And it is the darndest thing that they're getting away with in all of these scandals where they're stealing America from the people.
They're not stealing America. America is giving them America. Don't think it's a theft. Because as America sleeps, they're giving it away. Because we're standing in line for tennis shoes instead of standing in line for what's going to count and what's going to matter. That's the truth of it.
Yeah. Stanley was right.
What?
Branson never had a job. All he ever did was a business. He created a business in high school and graduated from that to several different things.
And if you go back...
But also, somebody like him probably had networks of business people that the average person doesn't have.
Absolutely.
You know, so you can't take one example of Branson and say he's going to be like everybody else.
The average person has a network big enough to make you a millionaire if you stop being self-defeatist and victim status all the time. What's more important to you? If you want to be a victim, you will be a victim. You will live up to the down to the expectations you have for yourself. You ought to read the book Six Degrees to the World. There isn't anybody in the world you can't talk to because you know somebody who already knows somebody who knows them. Stop defeating yourself before you can get started out of the gate. It gets old. Being
but the average person has to have a job before they can go out and do it on their own.
Philadelphia, whose show is it? You hear the lady yell in 60 seconds? What does that mean? I'm gone for the weekend. You guys have a good day. You guys can, talk all over each other in the next 60 seconds. But for right now, I'm going to say goodbye. AJ, thank you for helping out Justine with Y103. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you guys on Monday. The number is 347-945-5229. God bless and have a good day.
I agree with you. It is the defeating attitude that a lot of people have that saying that he can't succeed. Why can't you?
Why?
The person in Virgin succeeded in everything, but he had no money. He was poor like hell.
Aristotle Onassis was a doctor.
He was nothing. And I read his biography. It was so amazing. And he said, I was nothing. I was poor like hell, but I knew in my heart that I will never work for somebody, ever.
Exactly.
And I'd rather be poor and have a little macaroni and cheese, but I will never work for somebody. I will never go to that mentality, because if I start opening that mentality, I'll basically say, oh, it's okay. Or at least I had a paycheck.
Aristotle Onassis, the world's first public billionaire, was a low-paid dock worker, won $300 in a crap game. Now, how many people in the ghetto were gambling tonight playing craps or poker, and he pyramided that into a billion-dollar fortune? Let me see. Oh, let's see. He didn't even speak English. He was a Greek. He didn't even live in America where there's opportunity. I want to know from all these victims, Stanley, what is it that they woke up this morning wanting to do that somebody actually stopped them doing other than whining about themselves?
Well, if you don't even take the example of going to the library or things like that, getting books that say, okay, like, what should I do first? Go get a book that basically, what's it? Go get the biography of people who are successful.
Yeah.
Go get the book of people who've done it. Go do internet and go find out very easily how to make $1 million in a year.
Remember the old saying, do you want to hang with the turkeys or soar with the eagles?
Yes. Like, look at your friends and everything and say, I don't want to, I love you, my friend, but if I want to be rich or wealthy, I have to hang out with the rich people.
Right.
Go to the rich people and ask them, look, be humble about it.
That's selling out there. That's selling out. That's selling out. They call you a sellout,
yeah,
man.
I got that. Yeah, yeah. If you're black and try to improve yourself, you're a sellout. Did you know that?
Well, I'd rather you be a sellout and be successful in life than be a sellout and the rest of your life work for somebody and have a job for 10, 15 years and the person of the job says, you're gone. And then you say, what am I going to do now? You're sacrificing 15 years of your life for somebody, thinking that that job was going to be there for the rest of your life.
But you guys are not, I mean, I don't believe in the victim status either, but there are people who truly are victims.
Yes, and Christopher Reeve. He was a quadriplegic, and even he was able to continue
okay,
to be
you
valuable.
Always got extreme examples, but let me just give me a minute, okay? That's all I ask. When you look at what is causing poverty, it's not just, I mean, the results of poverty is that people get so beaten down, they don't have a mentor. In poverty, you've got to realize poverty, people are malnourished when they live in poverty. And that's something that we're overlooking is the first 2 years of life. If you don't get the proper nourishment, your brain is never going to develop properly, ever. Those first 2 years of your life are just totally important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And two-thirds of the obese people in our population are the poorest amongst us. They got plenty of...
I hear what you're saying, and I understand
the problem that I'm running into,
and I respect what you're saying, but the issue that I'm running into is because I am by no means poor. I'm by no means rich, but what I'm seeing, because I grew up poor, there were seven kids in the family, you know, and I didn't realize my mom worked until one day I came home early sick from school, and she wasn't there. And then she had the lady drop her off at the house, and I was there. But here's the thing. Nutrition is an issue that we really don't have a problem with in America. Okay, by getting food is not an issue that we have here in America. If you're able to get food stamps, if you're able to secure food stamps, okay, you have the means to get the food and everything that you need to sustain yourself. Now, once you get those food stamps is a whole different story.
You're wrong.
I'm right because I can go to the grocery store
wrong.
This afternoon and pass by a young lady, a young man in the grocery store, and they'll ask me, do you want to buy some food stamps?
Right.
Hunger
has become the biggest scam. Hunger is like racism. It's a commodity now for sale. Matter of fact, we just finished some research on that we were hired to do. What the federal government spends for 42 million Americans with the food stamp program, there are charities in the United States that could feed every single American with the
every
same budget
one.
And do it for 60% of what the government spends just supposedly feeding one-seventh of America. Hunger has become a scam. Between the charities asking for money on the radio, between the soup kitchens, the churches, and everybody else, plus what the government spends on it, there is enough money spent on hunger in this country right now that every single American would not have 21 meals a week, 3 squares a day, 7 days a week, would have 41 meals a week.
Okay,
hunger is a scam in this country. Because
okay,
they can pull at your heartstrings, because
right.
they can get people like you to not look at the facts and buy into the lie that we're all starving.
Dude, without you getting really angry and upset?
I am getting upset because you're putting false information out there. You're dismissing
the
facts by simply saying, you're not telling the truth. That's not true. You don't have the facts in front of you. I can quote them to you. I can give you population census statistics.
Okay,
we just completed the research yesterday. This is new data.
Okay.
$74.6 billion. Do the math. Divide it by 308 Americans. 308 million. 308,745,000 Americans. To do the long division, get your little calculator out and actually divide the numbers and see what is being spent on the scam of hunger in this country.
Okay. May I speak now? Now that you've got all your stats, you do realize they're
all
working.
You're allowing to speak. Don't attack me, because if you're going to waste your time attacking me, now that you're all done saying that, say what you want. Never mind this left-wing tactic of spending 20 minutes attacking somebody to get out 30 seconds of information. Get to the information. Get to the bottom line, or you are self-eliminating yourself from the discussion because you have nothing interesting to say except to attack me. Now, what is it that you wish to add to the facts?
You're attacking me, and I'm not.
No, I'm attacking you because you started the crap about, well, now that you're out, I'm saying da, da, and it's obviously that you're angry, and it's obviously this. Never mind what I am. What is it that you wish to share that could add to the discussion other than personal attacks and insults?
You're one of those little
pussy men. You can't. You think you can't add anything. Admit it. You can't add anything. You have an opinion. See, we all have facts, honey, and you got your opinion. Well, that's the problem. People got 90% of what they believe to be true, and they can't back it up with a single fact, but they will determine what goes on in their life with it. See how insulting you are? Do you understand how insulting you are?
Do you even see it? Wait, let her finish.
Let her finish because I want to hear what she has to say. Let her finish and everything. I do agree with what you're. We do not have, and I have to add one thing. We do not have a hunger problem here. If you are getting food stamp, whatever, and you're choosing the wrong food to eat yourself for this, that's your issue. That's your problem. That has nothing to do with us and everything because many people choose better to have this kind of food when they know that they could eat very well eating fruit, vegetable, and a little bit of meat, and it would be perfect. So I want to hear what she thinks. Go ahead.
All righty. Are you guys finished? Because I don't want to make this a pitching contest right.
Wait, I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
We're listening.
Okay. I lived in Dallas for a number of years, and I'm sure you guys have heard of Ross Perot.
Yes, we have.
He's a multi-billionaire, self-made multi-billionaire down here.
He's the owner of EDS.
Well, he sold part of it. Anyway, he owns Perot Systems. He owns a whole bunch of stuff. He funds these private schools. They're preschools, and they're for the very poorest people. If they can get there and bring their infants. And most of the people who do this are young women. Now, I'm going to say this, and you all can gnash your teeth or whatever. 3 out of 4 children in this country who have single-parent households live in poverty. I don't understand why you guys don't understand what poverty.
We do. We recognize that.
Okay,
and that's because single women shouldn't
Ross
be having
Perot.
Children. Because
Ross
it
Perot.
Is proof that there's poverty. We agree with you on that. But that doesn't mean they have to grow up hungry. You're conflating two different discussions.
Well, they ain't growing up starving. I ain't seen no starving kids in America.
There are starving kids.
The poorest among us are the most obese in our country. They have plenty of food.
Oh, God, can I
They don't have dietary intelligence, but they don't have, like,
Let her finish, and then we can
go ahead.
Why do you guys
I'm curious.
Just let her finish. Just let her finish. Let her finish, and I want to hear what she has to say. We could come back to her. Go ahead, ma'am.
Can you give us some examples or some demographics of where these people are starving at? Because I'm really curious. I really am. I want to hear this.
Yeah.
The Association of Emergency Room Doctors, there was a report a few years ago, the increase, and it's alarming in this country, the increase of the number of children who are underweight, who are malnourished. And
okay.
It's not because their parents are, they're poor. They're just so poor. And what you all are responding to is Michelle Obama's attack on obesity. But we have, let me finish.
Better
we have
finish.
A equal number of children in America who are malnourished and underweight. And that means that the first 2 years of their lives, their brains did not form properly. They never will form properly because that's when the brain forms. That's when the neuron connections are made. These mothers they were not trained to breastfeed, which is the best way of feeding your child. But we have, along with poverty, I just want you guys to understand, I'm not attacking anything you say. And if you want to know, I have never voted for a presidential candidate who won, okay? I've never, so don't say I'm liberal or I'm conservative. I don't buy into that anyway. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we have an equal number of children who are underweight as 3 out of 4 children who live in single-family homes live in poverty.
Okay.
Now, listen,
The
question I want to ask you, those three or four children that live in poverty, if I would go there or Alabama would go there or any of us would go there and say, show me the money that you're spending. I'm sure a lot of them are spending money on TV. A lot of them are spending money on a cellular. Wait. If you're saying they're in poverty, that means if I go to your place, you don't have none of those things. If you're making a priority that TV, other things are a priority more than food, we have a problem. Second of all, what kind of food are you trying to get? Are you going to the grocery store and getting food, fruit, vegetable, which is not expensive, I'm sorry, compared to other places? We have a quantity of things and milk. Or are you going in the middle and getting processed food, which is way expensive? Are you getting rice? What kind of food are you getting?
You're going directly where I was going to go, and Mike is probably damn near an expert in this. If you don't get the right supplements, if you don't get the right nutrition or the right vitamins or anything, I don't give a damn how much food you eat, you're going to be quote unquote malnourished. That doesn't say that you're going to be hungry. You'll be malnourished because I know I look at my grandkids and they can fill up on Oreos and be full on Oreos, but I've been daggone if they're getting the nutrition that they need, and therefore they're going to have some issues as far as how they look, how they feel, and how they act.
Kids starving in America.
An emergency room statistic
are
few because only the sick end up in an emergency room. You don't see 500 healthy kids in an emergency room. They wouldn't be there. If you want to know the real status of underweight children, go stand out in front of a grammar school and watch the kids leave school, and you tell me how many skinny, emaciated kids you see. Most of them are overweight.
Hell, the other day I seen a fat fidget. I mean midget.
In fact, in South Carolina, I am an expert in the ills of malnutrition during early years. That's why I'm blind. My mother, during pregnancy, didn't get enough. My father was an alcoholic. My mother was an immigrant to this country, didn't speak the language, and had no connections here. So when he got drunk and didn't come home for 4 weeks, she was out of food while she was pregnant with me. So I'm aware of what can happen. But then again, I didn't use as an excuse why I didn't at least go out there and try to get a job or try to improve my lot in life.
That's a civil war.
No, not necessarily.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you guys, there's no reason for any child to be starving here in the United States of America. Hell, they give away food. Restaurants, the bread company, they give away all those pastries and that and sandwiches at the end of the day. Organizations come in and take them and, you know, redistribute them and so on and so on and so on. So there's no reason for no child to be starving in America.
That's absolutely right, Tianchi. I agree with you, but there's a difference between food shortages and food distribution. Distribution causes shortages in food in all over the world. That's why I talk about poverty so much, because poverty everywhere in the world affects all of us. People say, why do we send aid to Africa? Why do we send aid to anywhere? And it's because poverty affects us globally. There's a direct connection in the United States between poverty and crime. In areas where there's higher crime, they're building the prisons today for the future. They know that the population of where there are poor people today, that's your criminal class of tomorrow.
No, they're building
the prisons in those
areas because real estate values are less and it's a better use for the land. They won't build a prison on beachfront. It's not the best use of the land.
And at the same time, they have other programs that's designed to try to keep children out of trouble. I was arguing with one person who ran a program on another station. He was talking about we shouldn't discipline or use corporate punishment on our children. And I said, well, that's that group of people, dysfunctional families that you're working with. Don't tell other people who's standing on the outside, who's living in another segment of society, who's doing just fine, and they do from time to time use some measure of corporate punishment, not abuse, mind you, but punishment, and they should be left alone.
That's a whole nother topic, hot topic, Pianchi. I won't get into that with you today, but I don't believe in corporal punishment at all for children.
Well,
not at all.
Here's the thing that I know for sure, okay? I grew up in a generation that, pardon the expression, would whoop your ass if you did something you had no business doing, okay? I have, like I said, there were seven of us in the family, okay? So I saw the results of discipline. We didn't get a whooping for everything
we did. But
you're
talking about something
else. The point that I'm getting to is this. There have been things in America that have occurred, and now you've got folks that are going against what we did in America and some of the principles we had in America, saying that they're not good practices. When you've got 150 years of good practices and we're seeing the results of it, you don't get the kind of business successes we had in this country by being undisciplined and not teaching discipline. It just does not happen. So my thing is, there had to have been something good in what the generations before us did to get us to where we're at. Because I don't quite understand why these folks are so eager to abandon them. What is so wrong with the principles and the way we raised kids 40 years ago, 60 years ago?
Well, let's
what is
look
so
at
wrong
black,
with it?
Let's look at black youth and their propensity to violence.
Let me tell you about I'm a black man. I have 11 grandkids. Well, I have 11 grandkids this month. I got 10 grandkids. I've worked with Head Start. I've worked with First Steps. And the reason why you have so many black kids that are so violent is because nobody teaches them how to behave. They're so busy trying to deal with their feelings instead of dealing with their actions. I don't care how you felt when you put somebody in the face. I'm talking about, don't tell me about your feelings. I want to know what your actions were. Why did you do this? Not how you felt when you did it. Why? Explain to me why. Explain to me what reason you had to punch that kid. Why did you go out and shoot somebody? And I'm not talking about somebody stepped on my shoe. I could care less about your shoe.
Your premise is all wrong. The reason
how's my premise wrong, darling?
Well, I'm not attacking you. I'm just telling you the research that I've done. I just want to tell you 78% of all maltreatment of black children is done by their mothers. Black women are more violent toward their children than any other race Indian.
Let me explain it to you. The reason why that figure is so large is because of what you just said. Black women in single-parent homes are doing what? Raising those kids.
Yes, exactly.
You said 78%. You said 75% or a good 72% of all African-American children are raised in single-family households.
Yes.
That is a recipe for abuse just right there. Okay, so your numbers may be absolutely correct, but you cannot blame the corporal punishment. You have to blame what I was saying before. You know, Mike said it, Pianchi said it. They don't get any training, and they don't. And then the society says, okay, you're poor, you're black, you can't help yourself. We got to give you this, we got to give you that, instead of actually teaching you what and how you should be doing to raise your children. That's all I'm saying.
You made my point for me. Thank you. Poverty,
you said my premise was wrong.
And you know, that was the same message that came. That was the same message that came to our society back in the past and told women, "Well, you don't have to listen to the husband. You don't have to have a husband in the home.
Exactly.
Come on, we can give you welfare and this, that, and the other." And the same message that came with these new progressive ideas, this, that, and the other. And what I'm saying is that this. You know, you talked about prisons. Prisons is a safety net in case these other programs that don't work. You know, they had all kind of ideas in this country about how to take care of dysfunction. And many times public had outcries against it, and they moved away from them. So finally they said this, we will provide X number of dollars for you to implement these programs no matter what you call them or how they operate it, and we're not going to guarantee they're going to last forever. But just in case these programs don't work the way you would expect them to do to keep kids and children out of trouble and young people out of trouble. On the other hand, we're going to have these prisons here for a safety net, because if they get out of your control, we got something else for them. And that's what society agreed to.
And what do prisons provide? They provide a steady stream of income.
Well, and not only do prisons provide a steady means of income, but these programs provide a steady means of income also. Jesse Jackson's programs, Al Sharpton's programs, the Urban League programs, other programs that's sponsored by, that's promoted by, hell, public schools provide a steady source of income, but look at the product that they put out in most cases. And they are a bastion of experiments for progressive ideas, like one we just got through discussing here just the other day, Common Core.
Oh, yeah, that's a horrible one. You know, Common Core, oh, gosh, Common Core is going to divide this country up into geographical areas. They're going to be pinpointed about who from certain areas are going to get to go to college or going to go to the top-tier colleges, where the prisons, who's going to go to prison. It's going to be able to control you from the cradle up to the time that you, if you do get to graduate. Common Core is a program to control us. It's not to educate us. Oh, they'll throw education in there, but you're just not going to be aware. I think a federal I think Common Core is a bigger issue than Obamacare ever was. And because this Common Core, once you get it in our school systems, you know, Texas is not in Virginia, and I think there are three other states did not opt into it, and Louisiana's opting out of it. But Common Core is a nightmare. It's about as Marxist as you can get in controlling people. You know, my grandfathers are in private school, and, you know, the public schools here are pretty good, and the public school they have a choice to go to is pretty good, but I sacrifice certain things to help pay for their tuition because I just don't want them to be indoctrinated with all this crazy stuff.
You and I both, Kat, I sacrifice also. I said that they are not getting my children.
No.
And they didn't get my children. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this is the reality of life, especially in the United States. There's things that you have to respect. You have to respect same-sex marriage now. You have to respect certain ideologies, certain religious people with theologies and religious ideologies. You have to respect that. But you don't have to go along with it personally. You don't have to sacrifice your children to it. You're going to have people who are going to do well, and you're going to have people who's not going to do well. And you have to have some means to protect yourself from those who want to impede upon your freedoms, infringe your rights. If you don't, you end up in that bastion of poverty, and you don't want to be there.
Right. I made choices a long time ago. One choice I made when I was a teenage girl, that when I got married, that my children would all have the same father. That was a big deal with me. I don't know why I made that choice, but I made that choice for myself. And when I found myself divorced, I made the choice that I would not ever accept government assistance. It was like a point of pride. It would have been a very shameful thing for me personally to have done that. So, but today it's not that way. There's no stigma attached to being on government assistance, none at all. It's like it's my right to do it. And I think that along with poverty goes brainwashing and keeping people ignorant about what's the reality of their lives. I mean, poverty and ignorance go hand in hand. I just always remember, if you ever read or watched the film version of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, that goes to Christmas Future, warns Scrooge about the two children that's under his robe, and one is want and one is ignorance. And he talked about I forget what the correct verbiage is, but he said that to fear you know, the poverty, to beware of the child who represented poverty, but to really fear the child who represented ignorance. And I think that's what's going on. If we keep people poor and ignorant, then you've got a permanent underclass that you can use to vote for
you. You make money off of it.
Yeah, this is not just, it's not just a black issue. This is an economic issue. It affects everybody.
I always said it was an economic issue. That's what the term racism was, an economic issue in our society. It had nothing to do with like, love, and kissing, and holding hands, and singing songs, and all that stuff. It was an economic issue. It is, in reality, to get down to this, it's the same economic issue. But it has evolved in something else emotionally. It has evolved in something else for a convenience of conversation and also for a distraction as we see it is applied today. You know, I received a call from a principal who wants me to come next week and sit in on the interview of possible social study teachers. Well, this wasn't a public school principal. This was a private school principal. I never received those invitations, and I'm not going to say never because I have, but generally from public schools, no, because they use a plan of indoctrination, especially if you take federal dollars. If you take federal dollars, that's not the only thing that you have to take. You have to take part of the program. That part of the program is agenda, and we see the results of it all the time.
I agree, Pianchi, and also in public education, it's outrageous what administrators in public education make. We always bash the teachers, but it's the administrators, you know, that keep the system going, and it's a good old boy system. And I think it's like $150,000 is what a principal makes down here. I mean, $150,000, and you don't work an entire year. That's an incredible amount of money. I know I worked for a man. He was a vice president of a corporation down here. He only made $110,000. And I just look at these people in public education. And Austin is a big convention city. We have a huge convention center here. It's a tremendous amount of business. And those people that come here when they have the state conventions for public education for the higher administrators, they party like it's – I can't even believe they're in education. I know because I've been to some of those parties. They rent limousines, and they live like friggin' kings.
Kat, it is totally shameful. And I'm I know this goes on, but I'm talking about in black society because, you know, that's what I am. And I'm supposed – to speak up. I'm supposed to try to make changes and suggestions, but what you are saying is so true. It is just totally, totally shameful the way the things that go on in these school districts that's controlled by African American, that's predominance of black children go on. It is shameful. It's no way in the world these folks are going to heaven. If heaven is anything what they describe it to be, they are not going to heaven. If they do, I don't want to be there.
No, I agree with you, what you're saying, Pianchi. The thing I truly said, like I always said, school and everything is there to make people become employees and for the rest of their life work for somebody else. Not there to make you think. It's not there to improve you. It's there to make you become an employee, become somebody who follows the order of the boss. That's it.
Well, something must have happened in education because my public school education in high school, we were taught critical thinking. And so it wasn't that we were expected to go to college I think that when I went to high school, it was just different. And I know that we had a team of evaluators that followed us for 2 years that came in, and they determined that the teaching model at my school was antiquated. Well, I don't know what was antiquated about it because we learned, the classics and a lot of emphasis on science. And a lot of boys, especially went to Ivy League schools in my graduating class. But after that, it seemed like they started offering more of these fluff classes like psychology and I don't know. I think
I'm laughing because I'm looking back at when I went to school, and that's the same thing that happened to us.
Yeah, it's because I took Latin, and I went through second year. You had algebra, geometry, and then algebra two, and I took physics and chemistry, and geology, and so when you talk about school teaching you, just to go on and be part of this business empire, well, I think that school should teach you what you need to, the tools that you need to continue your education on your own, because that's what education really is to keep educating yourself. You don't get all of your education, in one setting, not even in college. I mean, you should always be striving to educate yourself on something, even just learning a new word every day or just seeing life through someone else's eyes.
You're making a lot of sense. I had algebra, my algebra one in my freshman year, okay? And I had a teacher that I could look at the problem and get the answer. And he would stress the whole time, "Mr. Williams, do not worry about the answer. I want to see the process. It's the process that's important. It's the process that makes you think. I don't care what the answer is. I want to see your process." So we have to go through the process. When I left high school and went to the Marine Corps, I understood exactly how important that process was, okay? Because you have to learn how to take things apart, and be able to work it. If I hadn't learned how to do that in high school, it would have been no – and then when I went to college, oh, my gosh, high school paired with that, high school and the 6 years in the Marine Corps, I was sad, but they don't teach them that anymore. They're not too many kids. Listen, I learned how to count back change. Okay, if you gave me a dollar and the thing cost 15 cents, I learned to count back. Okay, give you a dime, it's 25 cents, 75, a dollar. You counted it back. These kids, I went into Burger King and gave the girl the item cost $2.62, okay? I gave her $3.02, and she stood there for a good minute trying to figure out, now, how in the world do I do this?
Oh, yeah.
She couldn't figure it out, and I had to tell her.
I even have trouble making change anymore. But that's true. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I just use a debit card or credit card because I don't want to wait for someone to count anymore. And I used to always keep cash, but I just don't stand there and watch. It's painful to watch people make change.
I can imagine Pianki trying to run a site with guys that we were talking about the other day, guys that don't know how to read a rule. That building would come out all messed up.
Pianki has some real skills, and, I think Pianki built bridges. I wanted to tell Pianki, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, my dad was in the Army Corps of Engineers, and he worked on the Hoover Dam. He helped build the Hoover Dam.
Hey, Pianki, you got out just in time. I ended up with all the guys that you didn't hire who can't read a ruler. You got a blind guy teaching people how to read a ruler. That's how sad it was.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you're very remarkable for the skills that you developed disregarding your impairment. I have to take my hat off to you.
Well, thank you, but no, actually, I was raised in an environment where if you didn't work, you didn't eat. I didn't care if you were blind or not.
And that's a good environment.
Yeah, it was healthy. I was raised around people, blue-collar people who all had trades, and they all had something going, and they all had part-time jobs. And some of them were single-mom homes, and some of them were husband and wife still living at home. And it was a cross-section of America in the projects at the time, and none of us were rich. Matter of fact, if your income went over $100 a week back in the day,
they asked you to leave the projects.
Yeah.
You couldn't
but you know,
$7 a month rent anymore.
In our discussions, we have to also be cognizant and realize that children don't come into the world wanting to be failures.
No.
No child wants to be a failure. They don't even know what it's about. They are just as anticipating to participate, to receive as great, to produce as great as outcome as their little minds and brains can conceive. It's the adults, it's the society, it's the politics, it's all the other things that go along and that likes to likes to become predators of the circumstances people find themselves in. And when they become predators, it becomes a profit-making adventure for them, and they don't will let go.
Yeah.
Just like it is with the tiger, once tastes human flesh, they prefer that over the natural things that they will normally eat in their habitat.
The one other,
you know, where I live, we have, you know, just about every nationality on earth is in my neighborhood here, and we have a community playground, and those little kids that come there, oh my gosh, they have no idea about race. They have no idea. Some of them don't have any idea about what sex they are. They're just kids having fun and playing with each other and sharing their toys and running around and just it's. I'll tell you what, as an older person now, as a grandmother, and I see the way children, you know, it's a real joy to watch children because you look at them and you hope that they're the saviors of this earth, and you don't know. You know, I look at my generation, and what have we left? Did we create this? I think about that because, you know, it's not so good out there. Unless these children have a big support system behind them, they're gonna get lost somewhere. I'm done.
The blessing we had growing up in the project, Bianchi, we were all equal. We didn't know we were poor. We just knew that we heard the word no a lot. Not this week, not now, can't, you know. And we just never, we were all equal. We were all different colors, just like you had mentioned, hon. We were all different colors, all different ethnic backgrounds, all different family situations. But the commonality was we were all poor. And we just never saw the difference. It was a world unto itself in the project.
Are you the gentleman that talked earlier about the, you were kind of upset about when we were talking about poverty?
Yeah.
Okay, right next to, Austin is in a county called Travis County. Right next to Travis County, it's a county called Bastrop. And if you remember a few years ago, we had those massive fires in Bastrop County down here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bastrop is poor. There is a huge problem with meth there and people who make meth, and they're just poor. These are poor people. I'm not saying that everybody there is poor, but there's a lot of poor people. And it looks like it's generational poverty. And these people, they have bad teeth. I mean, I don't know if they moved here, they've been, you know, families, generations lived there or whatever, but there's a huge problem with meth. And, you know, along with this meth production, they call it the hillbilly heroin, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's Bastrop County. It's a lot. There's a lot of that there. And, I mean, what causes that? I mean, why are these people so poor? And why do they, you know, they have to turn to meth to, you know, raise money to take care of their families? There's some really sad. I don't want to go in and talk about what my husband does for a living, but this impacts his job a lot. One reason I do talk about poverty and hunger because it does exist. And you say there's no reason why people shouldn't be hungry. Then why are they hungry?
What's interesting is, they have a group of people that are poor, a poverty area. And the only industry that somebody has thought up on their own, set up, learned how to do, is an illegal manufacture of a controlled substance. Now, you know it's not everybody. It's one person, and anybody else just works for them, and they enlist and recruit these people into this illegal action. But the money doesn't ripple through that community. It only involves the people who are actually involved in that industry, because obviously the entire town isn't making illegal controlled substances. But it's an interesting mindset, because why couldn't it be how to recap tires? Because I know lots of poor people that did that when I was a kid. They retreaded tires. It was hard, dirty work. And they made a full paycheck. They didn't do it in 40 hours, but at the end of 50 or 60 hours, they had the standard of living equal to everybody else. And so you just got to kind of wonder what is, there's more to it than just poverty, because it's a whole dominoes, a whole succession of dominoes that had to fall through a big, long, lengthy decision-making process. How did that come into that community? Did somebody come in and say, like a Tony Robbins motivational coach saying, hey, I can show you how to make big money. Let's start making illegal controlled substances. And where did the money come from to buy all the equipment and the raw materials and everything? So there's more to it than just they were poor and it's the best thing they could come up with. There's a lot more to it. It's just not that simple.
I don't know how it is there, but you can't go to a drugstore here and buy a sinus medication without signing for it.
Right, because it can be boiled down. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do they know how to do that? Somebody had to teach them. You know?
Right.
And there's a culture there where then that became the permissible thing to teach. But you could also teach other skills, too, just as easily. Somebody there could have decided to have the idea to run a gutter cleaning business or something and go and clean out gutters for people. You know, and getting a second-hand aluminum ladder is a lot cheaper than setting yourself up with all the equipment it takes to make controlled substance and bottle it and everything else and conceal it and pay people off to keep your secret so that you don't get arrested after you made your first bottle. So there's a lot more to it than just simply poverty caused it.
I think poverty is the result of it. You know, you'll never hear this on television, on the news. You know, the cartels are entrenched in our government, in federal government and in state government and local governments. Those cartels are very powerful in the United States. And I don't have proof of this, but I believe that's one reason that we're getting this increase in illegal border crossing. And those children that are being left at the borders are children whose their families would rather send them there than to stay in the countries they're in because of this war, you know, because of the, I wouldn't say a war on drugs, because there really is no war on drugs. There's a war on us to bring us drugs. That's one reason that they're there. And another thing people don't realize is those children are not just being held in those holding areas at the border. They're being sent all over the United States at various holding areas. They've got them right now in San Antonio at Lackland Air Force Base.
Yeah.
And I don't know where else, but someone was telling me about, you know, that, and these children, some of them have never seen a doctor. They've got tuberculosis. They've got scabies. They've got viruses that we've never had here before. This is a real health problem.
Right.
And, it just
isn't
seems
the weirdest thing you ever seen in your life?
Yeah.
About 100,000 kids coming out of a country, and the country don't even try to prevent that themselves.
Right, and the country is losing their young. Excuse me, there's no difference between losing your young when they're 18 and 20 years old because they were killed in war, and then the problems that takes in the society. That's what Japan found out. They were a country of nothing but old people 15 or 20 years after World War II. They had no children, because all the people that would have produced children were killed during the war. Same thing in Russia. Same thing happened with the people they lost. And, and you would think these countries would say, oh, this is not good for our economic future to have no children. Who's going to become the workers 10, 15 years from now? You let all these children out.
These children should be gathered up and sent back to their homes.
Yeah, yeah. And what's really interesting is this I'm afraid, is going to become another industry here in this country, too, because everyone's thinking the answer is throw more federal money and get state money and get charity involved and everything else. when you think about it, because they're projecting that this year there will be between 90 and 140,000 of these kids. Do you think there's at least one church in a whole city that would say, hey, let's just sponsor one kid? Let's just go down there and let's just get one kid, get them through the medical process, make sure the kid is healthy, and bring them here to our town, and let's have our church sponsor that one kid. I mean, there are churches in this country that sponsor whole villages in Africa, because, Bianchi, we did the research on this yesterday too. 81,700 and odd towns in America. We actually went to the federal website and pulled down all the information from the 2011 census figures. They did the census in 2010, and there was collated, updated numbers in 2011. There's 81,000 cities and towns in the United States. If each one just had a church that would sponsor one kid, there'd be none of these kids sitting on the border right now and all this problem. Now, I agree with you, lock the border, because back in the day of construction, when we walked into a house and there was a broken pipe and there was water everywhere, I didn't tell my guys, run for mops and buckets. I said, go find the shutoff, then we'll get the mops and buckets. So we got to
Yeah, that's the way it should be done.
Yeah.
But this is some type of plan.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Some people say, well, this...
There's more to this because Governor Perry put a letter into President Obama's hand on a runway, on a tarmac. He said this on a news interview recently, 6 or 7 or 8 months ago, that this was a problem in the making, that they were beginning to see it escalate. And the president did nothing with it. And the president really hasn't come out with a statement against it either.
President Obama would not take the letter. He had to give it to he rejected it. He didn't reach his hand out and take it.
Well, that was the one from Governor Brewer in Arizona.
No,
Governor
that happened
Perry says he actually did he do the same to Governor Perry?
Yeah.
Because Perry said he handed him the letter. Okay. And has never
gotten
a response.
But he was just impolite. He didn't mean literally. No, Obama didn't take it. You know, when Obama comes in town, they moved the airport out of town. They closed down an Air Force base.
Built. Sweetheart, you're in Texas, right?
I'm in Austin, yeah.
Okay, you're in Texas.
When Obama comes to town, I tell you, it's a...
Yeah.
They close down everything. They have to close down probably about 9 miles of highway for him when he comes in town.
Well, they also closed down the Burger King because Michelle don't want him eating there.
And they need to close down Five Brothers.
Because we did some statistical research in Texas. Now, the federal government said it would take $2.5 billion to build a fence along the entire 2,000-mile border. 1,000 of that border.
Good.
Cut
that out of Israel's budget.
Yeah, exactly.
Israel's aid.
Bianchi, so here's what we did. We did the research on this. If you wanted that entire budget, okay, and you spent it just on the 1,000 miles in Texas, in other words, they'd have double the money to build half the fence, basically. Well, we did something else. The actual licensed drivers in the state of Texas, who on average consume between 800 to 1,200 gallons of gasoline a year, go with the 800, the lower number. If Texas were to tomorrow start a campaign for Governor Perry, and Texans are just radical enough to go for this plan, that if they put 11-cent tax on every gallon of gas sold in Texas, that only drivers would pay for, okay, which would increase their gas fuel cost by about 88 bucks a year, it would raise over $5 billion in 1 year. And that's more than double the federal budget to build half the fence. They could literally create 200,000 high-paying jobs. If they want to build a fence, they could create 200,000 high-paying jobs on 40-hour work weeks, where literally these guys would be standing at 50-foot intervals for the entire 1,000 miles, and the border would be manned 24/7.
I have a better idea. Why don't we just enforce immigration laws we have? Because I'm telling you, they will get here by hook or by crook. They'll build tunnels, they'll build submarines, they make these crazy makeshift submarines. They're going to get those. Look, let's just face it. A big part of this immigration of people coming across the border is bringing drugs here. And the cartels want the drugs here. Government wants those drugs here. Those drugs contribute to a booming prison system, a booming education system. I mean, we can talk about building a fence, but they're never going to build a fence. They're never going to patrol that border correctly.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're going to have to keep on until some Al-Qaeda, ISIS militants work their way across the U.S., that border, and cause all sorts of havoc.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. What school district is going to take on all these children? And why would the residents of that school district have to be burdened with this additional expense?
Priyanka, you know, when Katrina happened, Texas took in a lot of people from New Orleans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They got federal funding. They got some extra money for 1 year. But then they had to absorb those people into the school systems here,
mm-hmm.
and it was a burden then. So where – look.
For 1 year, it sounds like the expansion of Medicaid to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I talked about on Mr. Talk Show yesterday is in the 90s, the cities ran out of money. This country ran out of money in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah. We don't have it. We don't have the money. Like Mike was talking yesterday, they don't have money to keep swimming pools open in Baltimore, but they're building a juvenile detention facility there.
Yeah.
You know? Our pools here are late opening this year. I mean, there's no need for that. Why are the pools not open?
I just got the high sign. My lunch is here, my Domino's pizza, pepperoni and mushroom. Bianchi, you like that?
I like the mushrooms. You can keep the pepperoni.
Okay. How about you, hon? You like that? And it's one of the handmade Dominoes because they're the best ones they've got, you know? And it's an interracial lunch I'm having because the sighted people in my office told me it's the one that comes in the black box. So.
If you ate my homemade pizza, you would never eat Domino's again.
I know that, and I would kill to have some real pizza. But living in the South, that's a foregone conclusion. You're never going to eat decent Italian food the rest of your life if you live in the South. So I've got to run. Thanks for the conversation.
All right. Well, enjoy yourself.
I think
Kat,
I don't know you made.
I don't know you made pizzas.
Bye, Bianchi. Are we only two left?
I guess so. I didn't know you made pizza. If you're making pizza, it's best if there's only two left. I mean, we don't have to give none to nobody else.
Well,
a couple years
ago, I decided that I wasn't going to – I have two daughters-in-law, and believe me, they're not really good cooks. But I've given them, like, kitchen stuff, you know, and I figured a couple years ago, hey, I don't have new kitchen stuff. I haven't for years. You know, when my mom passed away, I got her stuff. I figured, you know, I really want one of those KitchenAid mixers. And, man, I tell you what, I got the Pro line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I really got
it. So mixing the dough?
Yeah.
And everything, but it has an attachment.
It has a dough hook where you don't have to knead the dough. And
yeah.
That was really good for me because I had both my hands that carpal tunnel, and I had them both operated on. But, oh, yeah, that dough hook is, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. And it's so easy. You just put everything you want in the bowl, and you mix it the way you want, you know, and it's not a very big mess. You know, like when you flour a surface and knead the dough and do all that. You don't have to do that with this.
There's a company here that makes a Sicilian deep pan pizza. Boy, that crust really does taste good. I mean, you can just eat the crust alone. And, you know, when you get it and you put it in the refrigerator and you contemplate whether to warm it or eat it cold.
Yeah, we eat cold pizza. We either have pizza or my husband will bring home Chinese food on Friday nights. And if he calls me and I haven't made any pizza, he'll stop and get some Chinese food, what they call Chinese food in America anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Tracy had this extra hour. It's not. Is this in the archives or is this like?
No, you know Tracy used to go off at 12 o'clock, but I think she comes on an hour early, and I guess the space is just there the way it's. With Blog Talk to go off at noon, so I usually pick up 9 o'clock Central, but I understand she's on at 8 o'clock Central, which will be 7 o'clock Eastern.
So what time zone are you in?
I'm in Central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. You weren't at Mr. Talks yesterday. They had a really good discussion on the private prison industry. I called in.
Yeah, I was there. I had to leave early, though.
Well, that Beasley, I tell you, he said he made money off. He had stock in the private prison system.
Well, you know, the thing I told him, and I know Beasley goes off on these tangents. And Mike, but these guys always act like they're in a competition to see who knows most about a topic. And that's stupid. All you need to do is make your comment. You're contributing to the topic, not trying to have a contest to see who knows the most or outdo the other person. I mean, how simple can that be?
And they misinterpret what you say. They don't listen. So that's one reason I just quit calling in, you know. But yesterday I did call in and talk about that because this, some states are suing right now for, are being sued by the private prison corporations because the bids aren't being filled. So, I mean, that was the topic yesterday, but, you know.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I know.
I had no idea that what Mr. Talk was, he mentioned yesterday about private prisons and their involvement in making equipment for the military. I had no idea about that.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it, man. What else is new nowadays? With the advent of Obama, you're starting to hear things you never would imagine.
Do you think, Pianchi, there's anything that would shock us at this point?
That would do what?